November 10th, 2012. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 265. Yes, everyone, we're here. I think. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Jonathan, is that you? Hey, everyone. It is I, the J-Strom. It is a rare Saturday show. We have less listeners than even Friday now on a Saturday.
One listener.
One little listener. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to Mulberry. Also, we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, where's Steven?
Steven is on his way.
Oh.
He's not just late on Fridays. He's late on Saturdays,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be flying.
Steven just chooses his own path.
He really does.
He's in a different time stream than we are, also.
I was in that time stream.
You just take a little bit longer. But guys, we're here. We thought about doing a show yesterday,
but we're queer. Get used to it.
Yes. Please accept us for how we are. Don't judge us and enjoy our pop culture talk. Also, our movie and TV talk. Yeah. Video games. Yeah. Sometimes Blu-rays.
I've been playing a bit of video games, a little video gameage lately.
Video games.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped off a little bit. I did the thing where I played Guild Wars 2 too much, and now
I played the everlasting shit out of it.
Yeah, and now I'm playing nothing. I'm watching shows, and you know what's funny is I was talking to you about sometimes I forget that at one time I tried to write screenplays. And I was talking to you about one. And I was like, hey, Bill, maybe I want you to read it if you want to.
Since we started working on the screenplay to Star Wars Episode 7, we've been kind of tossing ideas around.
I know. We just got hired.
It's not Michael Arndt that's writing it. It's us.
Yeah, that's right. And so I was like, maybe I should show you my writing samples, Bill, since we're hired to write this thing. And then I realized everything is typed. It's not in the digital domain at all. I even have one script that I wrote all handwritten in a spiral notebook. It's not typed at all.
Oh, and you still have it?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And the one that I wanted you to read is typed up, but it's not on computer. Like I put it in a PDF file or something like that. So I started rereading it. Like, do I really want Bill to read this? It's probably embarrassing and very badly
really
written.
Do I want him to read this?
And so I read, like, the first five pages, and I already knew, like, I totally wouldn't even have this in here anymore. I would change this dialogue to make it very simple. It's way too, like, hey, I've watched a lot of Quentin Tarantino in Kevin Smith movies.
Oh, no.
So I could see where I would immediately change it. And I was like, hey, maybe I should type it in, but then do the 2012 rewrite. Because I think this was like 1999 or something like that to 2012. So
that's a good time period.
Yeah, I let it ferment in somewhere, and now I could look
now
at it.
Now you're cracking it open like a fine wine.
Well, and also, like, when I was thinking about it, it's totally like another movie. At the time, I didn't think that. But now, after, like, thinking about it and rereading it, I'm like, wow, this is almost like beat for beat, like a movie that exists. But I won't tell you that right now.
What was that one movie that came out? It was like during that whole Tarantino craziness that there was another one, like Something in the Valley with Charlize Theron, Two Days in the Valley.
Yeah. And then remember that Doug Liman movie, Go?
Yes.
That was so like a wannabe Tarantino kind of thing. I mean, I knew I wasn't in the video in UTA Arlington. They didn't have a film program. They had a video production program. And my friend at the time was in that video production program, and I would hang out with him because I was like, I like films and stuff too. And I would hang out with him and the other guys who wanted to be directors. Like, hey, I love Oliver Stone, man. He's the greatest director ever. Oh, yeah, Francis Ford Coppola's the greatest. Or it would be like Kubrick. He's a genius.
Gotta whip out the Kubrick.
Yeah, so I would sit there and listen to them talk, and I'm like, don't these guys know Sam Raimi's the greatest director ever? What's wrong
James
with these people?
James Cameron.
Yeah, they don't know.
What about Lawrence Kasdan?
So, meanwhile, while they were trying to do their Apocalypse Now spoofs and stuff, I was over there rolling my eyes like, oh, Jesus. But I don't even remember the point I was trying to make. But that all inspired the script I wrote about a guy who can't get into film school, and he's doing his anti-film school movie, and he can't get funding or anything for it. Until he meets a lonely, blind jazz musician who says he'll fund his movie. It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard.
It sounds awesome.
Even his movie idea is ridiculous also. And I don't know. Maybe people like it. I'm going to type it up.
It would be like the perfect kind of satire of that whole 90s genre.
Right. But the funny thing when I'm reading it, I can sense anger on the page. Like, I was really, like, in a bitter place when I wrote it. And it has a lot to do with me hating all that film geek shit at the time. I don't even think I had the internet at this time. I didn't have a computer. I had a little word processor I was typing.
Can you imagine if you had the internet without anger?
Yeah, it's just, it didn't happen. I would have been on Ain't
It
Cool News.
A podcast and calling it Versus Hollywood.
I would have been on Ain't It Cool News in the comment section, definitely, in the early days. But anyway, what was I talking about? No, Bill, I wanted to talk about this. We did a show for our holiday pack. One show so far.
Okay, so we have decided it's holiday pack material.
Yeah, we got nothing else going on. We got to put that in there. But
whatever works.
Already Heather's like, do you think you could do a pack and really help out with Christmas? And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm in for it now. Better start working.
You got to come up with something good.
Yeah. Well, our first one, I'm going to go ahead and tell everyone. Might as well get it out there now, Bill, is a Star Wars show where we talk all about the sale of Star Wars to Disney. We withheld.
Everyone knows how much we love us our Star Wars talking.
Yes, we withheld from commenting on Facebook. We withheld from commenting on Twitter or whatever.
The tweets,
and we say it all on the show. Actually,
I did comment on Twitter about Andrew Stanton. So,
oh, okay. Well, we basically we give a lot of detail in what we think.
Deep minutia.
Hopefully not everyone's sickened by it. But I wanted to say this. Sometimes when I seem like I'm grumpy or whatever, talking about the internet and movie blogs, come on, has anyone noticed that everyone has already reported who's writing the screenplay to the new Star Wars, and everyone's chiming in, oh, could this be good? Could this be bad? How about just shut up and not say anything?
How about if just let them write it?
Just don't comment.
Yeah, because is your comment really worth it?
Yeah, let's all keep our collective trap shut. I mean, we don't need to comment on everything. Come on. I know this is a podcast. We're not going to comment on anything tonight.
Nope. We're it's just going to, in fact, show's over.
I don't. Yeah. Well, see you next time, Bill. No, but it's just like, remember when Harrison Ford said, hey, I might be up to a new Star Wars. Oh, shit. Typing on my computer. Harrison Ford says, he says that he may be.
Yep, running down every like blog on Google, and it's phrased in just slightly different way. It's the same exact story.
He's willing to do new Star Wars, play Solo again. Oh my God! But there's this little byline: interested in killing off character. And then I see in Entertainment Weekly, how could they kill off Han in the new Star Wars? And then people are like, "What I think they should do?" It's like,
well, drop a planet on him, like Chewbacca.
Yeah. But my whole thing is, no, come on. But I understand. If you run a blog or something, Bill, you need shit to write about every week, right?
If you run a blog, you need to seriously reassess your life.
But
I mean, honestly, how many blogs? The only blog that I can truly say I visit daily and don't really have a problem with is the one that apparently all the people in the blogosphere hates, and that's Alex Billington's First Showing. Because he doesn't really comment. He reviews stuff, and he puts up trailers.
Yeah.
There's no real speculation on it, or at least that I've seen.
I look at it every day, or he comments on when he's seen a movie at a film fest or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he does do what everyone else does, screenshot from new RoboCop, you know, and
sure,
it's him walking.
Well, like, yeah.
Why is RoboCop only wearing one glove, but he's got a bare hand on the other? I don't know. We're just going to have to wait a while to find out.
Why is his mask so dark?
Yeah. Why is it dark? I don't really like this. I really like Rob Bottin's original design. I think I'm going to boycott the new RoboCop. Well, good for you. Why don't you shut up?
There's a difference between boycotting it and just not being interested. You know, boycotting is, hey, look at me. Look at me. I hate it.
I know that I sound ridiculous because I do a podcast where we talk about this stuff, but I'm just saying that I get sick of seeing the same story headline everywhere. Like, I know the Star Wars thing is big news, and I know Harrison Ford. Here's the part of that story about Harrison Ford that I see when he quotes, he never got it. He never understood why people love Han or Star Wars so much. That shows you right there. I don't want him involved in the new Star Wars.
No. he's just going to give that same Harrison Ford performance that, like,
yeah, I'm too, you know, I don't really feel like being here, but whatever. And that's perfect for Han. But he wants to kill off Han. They don't need
to
kill off Han.
He's wanted to kill off Han since the first one.
Yeah, he wants to kill him off. He doesn't get it. He's like, a stupid character. Kill him off.
I think he does it just to piss people off, really.
If he is doing it for that reason, that's okay then. But he needs to kill off Indiana Jones. But then the Shia LaBeouf would have been the next guy in line. No. But guys, if you guys are really interested in our holiday pack, Star Wars, The Sail to Disney is the first episode. It's a good 2 hours. Good 2 hours. 2 hours plus.
I would say 2 hours plus.
Of Star Wars conversation. We talk about who should direct it, who shouldn't direct it, who should write it.
No, I don't think we ever say who should. I think we just kind of say who we'd like.
Yeah, but we also say who shouldn't. And
shouldn't, for sure.
One thing we do say is maybe they could get some of those Pixar guys involved. And it sounds like they already have. You know,
they're smart. It's Disney. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. That's exciting. And I'm really just delaying things for Steven to get here, but he's not here yet.
You know what I'm most excited about?
What?
Something I just read. Confirmed. Transformers 4 lands Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, hell yeah!
Unbelievable.
Let me in the freaking Transformer house! Right?
I can't believe that. That's shocking to me. Could they get any more, like, non-charismatic a person?
I know. Whoa, it's robots or something.
Hey, tell your mother I said hi.
So let me in the freaking house! Let me in the freaking Autobot! Over here, do you think he'll go, no, 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 no?
I hope so. He's got to carry on that legacy, the LaBeouf legacy.
That guy's a genius, man. Don't knock, Steven. Just walk in. The show has already started. What
He's
are you knocking
talking.
For, Steven?
Hello? I don't want to, you know, enter. Somebody might shoot me.
You should have allowed nature to take its course.
Yeah, Steven. You should have allowed nature to take its course. What up, Steven? Oh, he's gone. Oh, he's going to the bathroom.
What a tease.
Wow. He's going to the bathroom. He's
hey,
late
how
to the
you
show.
Doing? I'm
going
to use your shitter. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, it's like, wow. I just...
I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold.
Yeah. Hope you had a hell of a piss, Steven. And baby doesn't even know you're here yet. She's outside. But that's one thing that we can really look forward to, Bill. The day they announce who will direct Star Wars Episode 7.
It'll be like, oh, my God. I think I'm just going to stay off the internet that day.
I don't think this guy's a very good director. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? But I think it's rather like, remember how we got excited at Phantom Menace when it was announced? A new Star Wars, holy shit. I think I may be excited. I am kind of excited there will be a new Star Wars. I can go see it with Emma. You know, I even told her that when the new Star Wars comes out, you're going to be 10 years old. And she was like, 10 years old?
That's forever.
Yeah. It's going to take forever. And I'm like, nah, it'll be 10. You'll be 10 in no time. Well, hello there, Steven.
Hello.
Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Sorry, you know, for being
watch
late.
Out for your Dr. Pepper. Baby will come in here and knock that shit right over.
There we go.
There we go. Okay. Let's not let any of this get yanked out. Welcome, Steven. Welcome
Hello,
to the
welcome.
Nowhere in Mulberry
Hi,
Show.
Hi, Bill. Hey.
How are you doing?
Is there anybody else in the chat room? I haven't looked. Nope. Zell left. Good for
there
him.
There is. Yeah, Zell was here and got, let's see. Wow, right on time. Just got up from nap. Woo! And he's gone. I gotta go to the bathroom. All right, he'll be back, I guess. And now baby has discovered Steven. Aw, look at that tail.
There we go.
If I stuck my tail, my hand towards her tail, it would cut my fingers off right now. It'd just go, and blood would squirt everywhere. So I won't do that. Guys, we have some voicemail. You guys want to check this shit out?
Yes, sir.
All right, the first one is from Paul. Let's check out Paul's voicemail.
Hello, Jason.
Hi.
Steven.
Hello.
Bill.
Hi, Paul.
We are Darren.
Hello,
Paul.
We have united for this phone message.
Like the return of the Jedi.
The Jedi?
I'm very drunk.
We have both had a bit of drink.
We have. We've been recording our podcast, and we thought we'd record a message to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much for all your podcasts, and we'll keep on waiting your newest ones eagerly.
What?
I wish I was that drunk.
No.
No, okay.
That'd be rude.
That would be rude. Anyway, thank you very much. We love you all, and we just want to say hello. Happy
and
Halloween.
And Skyfall. I enjoy it.
I haven't seen Skyfall yet.
You though. Should.
I know I should.
Skyfall. It's very good.
Being British, we never get
proud.
Anything before you, but we're happy that we got Skyfall before you, even though I didn't get to see it. I have a baby.
Well done. Go home now.
Okay.
Go home to your
I'm going home to my child and my wife, obviously. I'll send this to
General Send Good. Them. Send it.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy birthday. Happy Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. No, not yet.
Oh, love
not
you.
Yet. But soon.
Bye.
Oh, that was interesting. Thanks, guys.
That was awesome.
I was waiting for the, oh, love you. Oh, hate you. It seems like the UK's been getting everything before us lately. Remember Avengers? Everyone already saw Avengers before us?
Yes, but it was edited and called Avengers Assemble.
Yes. Skyfall was called Skyfall Assemble. Totally different.
Everything is now going to be called Assemble over there.
It's like, it's just a UK thing. We love assembling things. Oh, okay.
We love to assemble. We love assemblies.
And we love Nowhere in Mulberry. Yeah.
We love to assemble
Nowhere,
with it.
Nowhere Mulberry assembles.
That's right. Now, we did all see Skyfall, and we'll talk about that next in entertainment. But I will say this much, that I enjoyed it. You guys dug it?
Very much
yes,
so.
Yes, very good.
All right.
Very much so.
Now, we have another voicemail. This one from Sean. Hey, Sean. We haven't heard from Sean in a long time.
No.
Uh-oh, I'm burping.
Whoa, what was that?
We haven't heard from Sean in a long time. Let's check this out.
Hey, Mulberry guys. It's Sean in Los Angeles. It's been a while since I sent my last voicemail. I've been pretty busy the last few months. I started
Hi, Sean.
Grad school at the end of August, and between that and juggling a couple of jobs, I've had less time for fun. and less time to, you know, listen to Mulberry, because I can't listen to it at my desk at work anymore. So it's I try to listen to it when I'm in my car, but for your last couple of shows. But yeah, I'm definitely kind of bummed that I haven't been able to listen as frequently or send voicemails, but I hope all is well in Mulberry.
Please send more.
I keep up with what you guys post, you know, on Facebook, and it seems like everyone's doing fine.
Fine.
Don't really have much to say, because normally I usually say what I liked in your last episode, but I can't remember because I haven't listened to your last episode yet, I don't think, but I will get on that as soon as possible. Want to hear, I guess, what you guys think of the new fall shows. I haven't been able to watch Nashville, but I've heard good things. I think Jason said he liked it.
Definitely
want to watch it, at the very least, for Connie Britton. But, haven't gotten around to that. I did catch Skyfall last night and thought it was wonderful and lovely, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. So maybe you guys will talk about that if you've seen it by the time you do the show tomorrow, the special Saturday show, which sounds cool. Maybe you guys will talk about The Walking Dead, because I feel like the show, I think it's only been three or four so far this season, but they've definitely kept momentum going, the momentum I think they gained at the end of last season. So I'm really enjoying The Walking Dead so far. And
yes,
I think this season is like 15 or 16 episodes, and so we still got a lot to go. And
holy crap, is it?
But,
yeah, it's like 16.
Yeah, really enjoying that.
Is it split in two?
Homeland,
yeah, it's
well,
like eight, break,
and,
eight.
Surprisingly, Dexter, which I think has been pretty boring for the last couple of seasons, but I think they've really kind of changed up a couple of aspects of the show, and I've been enjoying that too for the first time in a few years. But, yeah, other than that, things are going well with me, but I won't take up too much of your time. So have a great show, you guys, and I look forward to listening to it soon. So take care. Love you. Bye.
Thanks, Sean. Love you, too. Miss you. Miss you, Sean. I've heard Dexter's gotten really good, how they've changed the dynamic, but I wouldn't
say that.
I haven't watched a single episode this season. I'm falling behind on a lot of stuff. I really dug that Nashville. It's got the hot, sultry Connie Britton in it, but I've fallen behind on that. I'm watching the usual stuff that we always do, watching too many cooking shows. Every Gordon Ramsay show that comes on, Bill. I'm still watching Arrow, even though I think that it really needs like a kick in the balls or something.
I have yet to watch it.
I mean, this one
was pretty good this week.
Yeah, it's good, but I want it to be. I know they play it very serious on the show, don't they?
Right.
Do you think they need to lighten it up?
Probably a bit. Yeah.
Without, you know,
but
like
without going too campy.
Yeah, like Smallville, like wah 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 wah. You know, they don't need to do that. But every once in a while, there's something funny. But Bill, I know that. Like, are you still watching Revolution?
No.
When did you?
You know what? The last episode I watched, I think I got about halfway through, and it was the episode where the brother was trying to decide whether or not to leave the group. It was just drawn out and
Uncle Miles.
Goofy, and I passed.
I'm still watching it, but I do labor over it, but The Charlie character is very annoying.
Yeah.
Extremely annoying.
Which one's Charlie?
She's the girl.
Oh, the lead?
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to be Katniss in the worst way, but holy shit. She cries in every episode. She's like, why are we doing this? I don't think we should blah, blah, blah. And he's like, damn it, Charlie. And then
they always do the stereotypical kid doing the wrong move thing.
Yeah. My favorite, though, we never even talked about the show or the pilot episode. Was the asthma storyline.
Holy
which
shit.
I always
Does
roll
the
my,
brothers still have asthma, or have they abandoned that?
They've abandoned the asthma. And what's funny is, do you remember even on Lost did an asthma storyline early on? Shannon had an asthma attack, and they needed her inhaler. They thought Sawyer took her inhaler, so they were like, give us your stuff. And he's like, no, this is my stuff, I found it. And they have to like basically capture Sawyer and torture him.
Wow.
Do you remember that? It was a whole thing on asthma.
Is that like first season go-to storyline for people?
Yeah. My favorite thing is when the guy, Danny, he meets that black lady. She goes, "Here, I have an old inhaler. It was my son's." And I was like, oh, great. He's going to be puffing on that inhaler like 3 times an episode. But he did it, and I was pissed. You know, I wanted him to go, like he's always nervous.
He's into Goonies. He's just like, no, here comes the mean guy.
He's like, but that didn't happen. But I'm watching the show, but yes, I am kind of like, I roll my eyes quite a bit.
My main watches are Sunday night. Like, I will, like, Monday morning, I'll sit down with a cup of coffee and watch Homeland, Dexter, Walking Dead.
Right.
Those three I watch the most.
I've fallen behind on Homeland also. And I know
the
it's
only
a good
reason
show.
I'm watching Dexter is because now Yvonne Strahovski's on it.
Right.
And I
love
just
her.
Google her. And just
that is great. You know, I was
You're
excited.
Pretty
when,
lady.
I was excited
like
when she was
you.
Casted on there. I want to see it.
Yeah.
But
she was casted, but, you know. You know how Dexter guest stars.
Yeah. So, you know how. She's doomed to be on one season.
Yeah, it's basically. It's so obvious. It's right. Painfully obvious. And the writing.
Either someone's a victim.
They mixed it up this year by, you know, you know what happened at the end of last year, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So they mixed it up. They introduced a whole new kind of dynamic. But by now, it's like, who cares?
Right.
They've basically, now Dexter no longer has asthma. And they just forgot about it.
Oh, much better. I'm watching Sons of Anarchy, of course.
Oh, I watch that too. Yeah, I watch it, and it's depressing as hell every week.
Yes, every week you
fantastic.
Feel like
fantastic. After each episode, I have to decide whether or not I'm going to take the gun away from my head.
Me too. Put the gun down. But watched
what the
that.
Hell is in? You know, did someone piss in Kurt Sutter's Cheerios?
He loves to just like torture us.
Drop the gun.
Another show, you guys aren't going to believe this, but I watched Chicago Fire on NBC about the firemen.
What is that? Is that a new show?
Yeah, it's a new show on NBC.
They don't advertise it. I saw one commercial for it this week.
For some reason, I mean, I started watching it from the pilot on. I'm watching every week, and I'm entertained by it.
Is it shot in Canada? Is it like that show that
nope.
had...
No. L.A. Complex. It's
no,
based in L.A., but it's in Toronto.
What was the show with Veronica Mars's dad? Enrico Colantoni.
Yeah,
and it had
Toronto.
The pink Power Ranger in it.
Yeah. Now, this show, Chicago Fire, it's actually filmed on the streets of Chicago.
Holy shit, that's impressive.
Yeah, and I like it. I dig it. It's got the... there was one episode where this guy's drunk driving, and he runs these people off the road. They, like, flip over.
Nice.
And he's like, hey, don't worry, I'm okay. And he's got beer cans everywhere, and he goes... He's like, come here, asshole. And he sits him down and he calls a cop over there. Go, this guy, he's obviously drunk. He's got beer cans and liquor everywhere. You know, you need to book him. And he goes over to the other people.
Take him to the recycling center, man.
This kid's got a broken back, and it turns out he's going to be paralyzed for life. When he goes back to see what happened to the kid, the cop's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, the guy I just brought over here, the drunk driver. And he goes, oh, man, I have nothing to do with that. Sorry. He's like, what? And it turns out his dad is a cop, and his dad is that Jason Beige, the ex-Scientologist guy.
Oh, the ex-Scientologist, you know, is all up in there shiznit.
Right. That's his son, so he fixed it where the son wasn't drunk driving, and he made it the paralyzed kid's fault.
Holy shit, that's brutal.
And so he's bribed all these people to say that they never saw him drunk. But this one fireman is like, hell no, I'm not. So he's like, I'm going to tell the truth. You know, your son was drunk, whatever. So now he's being harassed by cops and shit. So, like, it's been really intense where, like, his car's broken into every night. His tires are flat. Now his girlfriend's getting harassed.
His girlfriend's flat. Damn.
And guess who his girlfriend is? It's, KJ from Battleground. Remember the brunette chick who works on the camping?
Oh, the one that was the love triangle.
Right. Yeah, she's on the show, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
That's
she got
cool
out
show.
Of Canada.
I dig the show. Did anyone watch Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome? Mm-mm. First of all, I had a
problem with that series in general, so I'm not a real big Battlestar
Galactica
guy.
It started off okay, and then it just started going too much into mythos and
well, what I want to—I don't understand this. It's originally a two-hour movie. It's about Adama when he was fresh out of the academy and he's a hotshot pilot. But Sci-Fi is releasing it in like short 10-minute chapters every Friday.
What the hell was that about?
And then, like in February, they're going to release. They're going to show it on their channel. Why is this channel that has all this content that's total horseshit?
And they're going to dole it out in pieces,
right? One thing
like we've got a time slot for Hot Set that needs to be filled.
Yeah. But one thing, when you watch Blood and Chrome, it looks freaking gorgeous. The ships and the models and everything, it's gorgeous. It looks awesome. It looks like they spent a lot of money on the effects, and then they didn't know what to do with it or something.
That's too bad.
But it's got...
Are they just not feeling
I think
the
they
BSG
were,
thing anymore? Do they think it ran its course, and
they
now they just kind of want to move on?
Or something? I don't know.
I thought they did Blood and Chrome a while back. And they, just,
they made it in early 2011.
I've seen it already, I think.
No, you haven't seen it. Trust me.
I thought they left
trailers.
They did,
Steven has a time machine.
No, no, I guess I've seen the trailers. Or they did
the
like
trailers
a,
came out like a year ago or something.
Yeah.
But I've watched it, and it's got a lot of the cliche dialogue like, hey, you young hotshot, just wait till you do this or whatever. You know, I need you to fly this Raptor. What? I'm a Viper pilot.
At what point does that become... It goes past tongue-in-cheek and into just stop already?
Right. Well, it's right now there's two episodes, two chapters, I guess, of... I mean, that's
another
thing.
It's real
fancy.
It's got chapters.
The way it ends is like a commercial break, probably in the original two-hour airing, what it would be. So everything's... It just ends abruptly.
What I don't get is they're breaking it up into chapters, this two-hour movie. Remember when they showed the one in the theater?
Yeah.
Galactica I mean, what Razor? Happened to that? Why they were so gung-ho about that, and now this one they're just going to shelve and dole out in bits on
it's
the internet?
It's like they're just waiting to see if there's any interest in it, but I just show it on your freaking channel that you have.
Just show it
Why
already.
Not try to garner some ratings for
one,
a night
Bill,
for a
if
change
you were to
instead of showing Mansquito?
One thing that you'll like about it when you watch it, Bill, is that it's the old Cylons with the eyes. And the
what
old,
like I like old Cylons better.
Well, they've got the old Cylon ships, and there's lots of dogfights, and it's really cool. You know, we always knew the Zoic Studios who did the space effects of Galactica were always badass looking, really cool
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they're very good.
And there's a lot of that in here, and there's a lot of I forgot what it's called. Lens flare. Sorry.
Ooh.
I'm a huge fan of Lens Flare, and I think J.J. Abrams directed this.
You sure it wasn't Len Wiseman doing his J.J. Abrams impression?
It's definitely J.J. Abrams under a pseudonym. He
Wiseman.
There's Lens Flare all over the place. So, anyway, you guys
why
check
can't
it out.
People be original? Stop it!
I like the lens flare, but you know why they have the lens flare in this? Because they're probably hiding the fact that it's all green screen that they're walking around or something.
They try to like actually make it look like have a depth to it instead of like prequel just shit.
I'm telling you, it looks gorgeous. I don't know how much money it costs, but whatever budget they had, they made it look great with like a cool... Just cool space sets and stuff. It looks awesome. It gives me hope for sci-fi TV in the future, you know, because I want a show based in space again, you know.
I'm reading on Hero Complex from the LA Times that they're doing it online on purpose because they're trying to look into a online distribution like through Xbox, Netflix, stuff like that. So they're experimenting. They're using this possibly large... audience garnering show to test the waters.
Yeah, why can't they just air it on their channel then release it?
I agree.
I don't get it. But anyway, we have one more voicemail, guys. This one from Mike. And I think someone peed in his popcorn. Let's check this out.
Oh, really?
Just in case there is a Mulberry tonight. Because I don't have much time, and for a change, I'm actually going to keep it quite short, quiet. That wouldn't be much good. I'm going to keep it short. This is Mike from Ireland, and I just want to say Skyfall's a bit shite.
Aww.
Don't mind what anybody says. It's just not very good. Casino Royale looked like a way out of all the cheesy Bond nonsense. And, yeah, Skyfall looks like the way back in to all the cheesy Bond nonsense. And I just don't really like that stuff. So, yeah, thought it had bad pacing. It looks fantastic. Roger Deakins, can't believe he still hasn't won an Oscar. But, I mean, that doesn't cover the fact that the plot is limps along, silly bad guy, and all that stuff. Hey, maybe it's just not my taste. Anyway, aside from that, I don't believe there's any other news in the movie world this week. Oh, wait, no, that whole Disney thing. Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
Don't comment
on
it.
You know, it's only a matter of time before somebody makes a Star Wars film again anyway, so it'll be cool to see what Disney do with it, or who they get to direct something, or it'll keep people talking for a few years at least. But yeah, as you can tell, I'm really, really tired, and I've got nothing entertaining to say.
Always entertaining.
Will there ever be a rainbow? Yeah. Really like the last show, guys. It was great. Really funny. Lots of kind of laugh out loud kind of moments in it. I was trying to do a kind of a live blog of my listening on Facebook, but then I had to go away from my computer, so I had to continue listening while driving. Really amusing, really, really funny. Jesus, this is a bad voicemail, but hey, it's there.
It's fantastic.
It's here. Here you are. It's going to be short as well, which is a blessed relief for Bill, I think.
No, wherever you go, there you are.
Also, you made a big deal about my last one being 5 minutes long. When the first voicemail was like 10 minutes long from that chap from Birmingham, can't remember his name. Hey, everybody calls into Mulberry's from Birmingham. Maybe I should put on a Birmingham accent. Birmingham. But hey, no, okay, I'll stop before Michael James or someone kills me. Okay, well, I'm off. Have a great show, guys, if you're having a show. If you're not having a show, have a great evening. And other days
no
until
show.
You do have a show.
This is not
That's
a
the
show.
End. Bye-bye.
Show cancelled. I told myself, if Mike doesn't like Skyfall, show over.
Well, Mike is generally not a Bond fan, so I wouldn't get too upset about it.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't care what that guy thinks. All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks for your voice. All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. Yay, entertainment. Wreck-It Ralph, Bill. You saw it. I saw it. Steven,
yeah,
did
I
you see
it?
Did not see it.
I dug it a lot. I loved it.
Now, I think the reason I loved it was the general nostalgic feeling of it. I don't think the story was fantastic, but I really just loved how it was done.
Yes.
And how...
of course, the animation's incredible.
Yeah, the animation was beautiful. The idea of the arcade, like Central Station and all that. I mean,
yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I love the reference to everything. Like we were saying, the guy from King of Kong, the arcade guy.
Yeah, Walter Day.
Walter Day reference. He looks like he's running the arcade there.
Yeah, Flitwick's Arcade. I honestly was hoping it would have been Walter Day.
That would have been sweet.
Like his name was Walter or something.
I loved that the old 80s video games, they kind of move differently, the characters.
Like how they're a little jumpy and sprite-y.
Yeah. I love that. When I saw Dig Dug walk by, I was like, oh shit, there's
Dig Dug. Yeah, Central Station.
Yeah, that was
sweet. It was Dig Dug and one of the dragons.
Yeah, that was sweet. There's all sorts of cool video game. You know, and you even know some of them are Halo people, but they don't call it Halo. Like, pretty much Heroes Duty is Halo, isn't it? Or is it just a mixture of all sorts of things like that? I don't know.
It's a combination of, like, Gears of War, Halo, pretty much any first-person shooter that is really intense.
Yeah. You know? I love how you see the player who plays the video game in the game. They see it as a screen moving with a gun. That's pretty sweet. But you know what's funny is basically from the trailer you learn that Ralph, he wants to be a hero, and he decides to go to other games to become...
Game jump.
He doesn't want to be a bad guy. Yeah, he's game jumping. And when... I think when I first saw the movie, when you realize he's not going to another game now, he's going to stay in this one game, I was kind of like, oh, he's not going to go to some more games and, you know, genre jump.
I thought I thought there would be more to that.
Yeah, and when there wasn't, it threw me back a little. But then I got into it again.
Yeah, I would have liked a montage of like, oh, well, this just isn't for me.
Yeah, like
there was a little game jumping with the Pac-Man thing, where they all the support meeting for Bads was in the Pac-Man Center area.
Yeah. So there was cool stuff like that.
That was funny.
And it had a lot of heart, too. I really dug that.
It did.
And you even said, I didn't stick around for the whole credits.
Yeah, I couldn't resist. It was just I loved the arcade font and all the different themes from the different games.
Yeah, I wanted to, but we had to go. But
like even the Sugar Rush, I loved the whole look of Sugar Rush was very Japanese.
Yeah, it was like awesome.
The art style of it, the characters, the big eyes, kind of an anime quality to it. And then to have during the credits the Sugar Rush theme being in Japanese just made me smile like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you wait until the very end, it like plays through the credits, does the Disney logo, and then it starts pixelizing, and it's a kill screen for the Wreck-It Ralph game.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, we also saw the new James Bond film, Skyfall.
Yes, we did.
Starring Daniel Craig. And I dug it. I mean, I don't know what Mike's talking about. I thought it was a very serious Bond with some funny lines.
Yeah, it was
an
incredibly serious Bond that used those moments of like tongue-in-cheek callbacks as like moments of levity in very serious situations. I thought they were really well done because it wasn't constant. It wasn't like beat you over the head references.
And you know, Sam Mendes directed this, and I thought he did a real good job with the action and stuff. I thought it was
I thought he did it for a guy that's really not well known for action films. I thought the action was incredibly well choreographed, well shot. That gorgeous scene in China where they're fighting in that dark, like, glass.
It's all silhouette.
Yeah, it's all silhouettes and everything. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with Roger Deakins, but
there
were some like really gorgeous scenes.
Yeah, you know what's funny is there's one part with a I don't want to spoil anyone for anyone, but you see a certain creature in a pit. Didn't you know immediately someone would be eaten by that thing?
Yeah, I loved that. Loved that.
You know, they have a good reaction shot from Bond when he first sees it. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what I appreciated the most about this Bond film is it had a seriousness but a lightheartedness where Casino Royale was like nonstop, brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this one had a lightness to it. But, I mean, I can't believe that someone wouldn't like Javier Bardem's performance.
He was fantastic.
Because that was so gleefully perverse and fun that I thought he was the best part of the movie. I thought his villain was fantastic.
That scene when he first shows up is great and so uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And then to add it with that little, like, the touching and all that stuff, mm-hmm. it like, made the scene that much more intense. And it just...
I loved James.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, and Bond replies with a, well, who says it would be my first time?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, James.
Yeah.
And then later when he's in that cell and he's talking about how he was tortured and stuff, that was awesome. It was really
intense,
good.
Intense, man. The entire time he's on screen, though, I'm like looking at him going, Roland Deschaine, huh?
Like, I thought that too. Like,
I really couldn't help it. And
he is a fantastic actor, though.
Really is. And just the way he plays it, and that even, we won't say anything, but even getting into the final confrontation scene in the chapel, I was just like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, taking everyone to class. It was just so good.
Yeah. I really like the whole ending kind of standoff thing.
Yeah, because it like I almost felt like it was almost Peckinpah-ish.
Yeah, it was a James Bond version of Straw Dogs or something.
Yeah, it was like a mixture of Straw Dogs and the Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
You know, just this shootout confrontation, the bolt hole, like all everything about it worked for me. I just ate it up. The moment when it was over, I had a really hard time with the showing I was at because it was the first showing of the day, Friday. It was packed to the gills. I got there just as the preview started, so there wasn't a whole lot of choice seat-wise, so I ended up sitting like three seats from the screen. I could, so it like encompassed my view, but right behind me I had this old couple that was hard of hearing, and they were driving me.
What did he say?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, there's, you know, whenever they first get to Skyfall, and there's there's a moment where kind of a gun barrel comes out of the shadows, and the guy goes, "He's there!" Shut up! Like, it was so annoying. And then, you know, somebody will say something, and he has to repeat it for his wife, or... whenever they got up to leave, I looked at the guy behind me who had the same problem, and I said, "We forgot to pay him for their commentary track." I mean, it was so bad. I was enjoying the movie so much, but then I kept getting taken out of it because of them. And so I definitely want to go see it again. I had no problem with it. I thought it was the best Bond film in years. It was better. I would say it was better than Casino Royale, because Casino Royale was really just kind of a straight action movie, whereas this one, it had some serious depth to it, and it kind of... It got into the history of James Bond, who he was as a kid.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I wouldn't say it was better. I would say it's as good.
Honestly, as a film, on a whole, I would say it's better than Casino Royale.
Wow. That's praise indeed. I wonder if Mike agrees.
I just thought, you know, the direction, the story, the emotional connection to it, the villain. I just felt more like this guy, granted, he, you know, has untold sums of money. He can even, you know, manipulate all kinds of things, has tons of henchmen. You know, you have to suspend a certain amount of disbelief for it, but it worked on that level of classic Bond mixed with modern Bond.
It was cool seeing Ralph Fiennes in there too.
Yeah.
He adds a bit of class to the movie too.
Yeah. Albert Finney kind of threw me. Ralph Fiennes adds class no matter, even like in Bruges, which is brutal. And he has some hilarious lines that are just terrible.
Yeah, you know, he's great.
Even classes that one up.
It was a lot of fun. I liked it.
I enjoyed the hell out of it, if you can't already tell.
You know,
you had the talker, Bill. I had the heavy breather sitting next to me that kept pulling me out. All I kept hearing was the whole time.
Well, you know what? That's karma, Steven.
Mm-hmm. I don't do that in a movie, though.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, for Wreck-It Ralph, I went that Thursday at noon, and there was nobody in the theater. It was the largest theater, 400, 500 seats, and I was the only one in it. And then I go the next day thinking, well, maybe I'll luck out. Maybe there won't be that many people. And it was just swarmed. Bond, I bet you there would have been less people at the midnight showing.
Skyfall was definitely packed.
Yeah, I felt bad for Flight, because Flight was in a theater right next to it, and it was starting at the same time, and everybody's pouring into Skyfall, and nobody's going to Flight. And a Flight is getting some excellent reviews. Like, Roger Ebert gave it 4 stars, but I just don't care. Honestly, it's like, I don't know what they want people to think when they go into it. It just looks boring to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait for HBO. I'm sure I'll watch it. I finally watched The Descendants with George Clooney.
Well,
loved
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it. I was like, well, it took me a long time to see it, but I finally did. It'll be
it's
like
a different
for
role
that.
For Clooney.
Yeah, good stuff. Now, Bill, I did see a newer Jack Reacher trailer with Tom Cruise.
Yes, I saw that trailer too, and you know what?
It doesn't look so bad to me.
It looks more like the book.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like in the book, he does get into a chase in the Mustang and all that stuff, and there's kind of a play with... He's the wild card. There's something obviously going on, something's being manipulated... And no one counted on him. And he's the – in the way that the kind of the voiceover where he's a ghost. You know, he finds you. You don't find him. He does – you know, he has this moral compass. He was a military policeman who was kind of uncouth. And he didn't care about the politics. He just cared about what's right. And that's kind of – in the books, he kind of moves from town to town. I almost think of him kind of like the Pale Rider, you know, like the man with no name that just goes in and wrongs or rights wrongs.
So you've read the books, right?
I have read every Jack Reacher book. I ripped through them.
Sweet. So I
love them. I think they're fantastic. And Tom Cruise, he's not Jack Reacher. Like, Jack Reacher is like 6'4", blonde, 250 pounds, just a beast of a guy.
Right.
And he's ugly. Like, he's, well, he's not ugly, but he's not like stunningly gorgeous or handsome. He's kind of everyday guyish. And Tom Cruise, he's got the
gorgeous,
the swagger. Yeah, he's got the swagger, but he's, you know, he's not the size guy.
He might be able to pull off just from acting, you know.
Yeah, and I think he can, because like that scene in the trailer where they call him because they got the lawyer and they're like, "We got her," and he goes, "I don't know who you think I am. I'm not the hero. You know, you can have her." And then he calls back and says, "You know what? On second thought, I want to kill you." You know,
is that in the book, Jack Reacher? Okay. Is that in the book? I don't remember that scene in the book. But his personality.
That's his personality. Like, you know what? If you're going to screw with somebody that hasn't deserved it, I am going to mess you up royally.
Sweet.
And I'm really excited because I keep seeing flashes of the book, like the quarry, and that's Werner Herzog is the main bad guy, the Zek. And I just, well, maybe, I'm excited about it.
You know, I know, like, the first trailer was kind of like, what the hell did they do?
Yeah, it was more like a Drive kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, concentrated on him being in the car and being kind of a badass.
Yeah, like, what is
Whereas
he,
in the
Walker,
books, he
what?
Doesn't drive. He takes buses.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have anything that can connect him to anywhere. He doesn't have a bank card.
He's off the grid.
You know, he's cash.
Right.
You know, he doesn't drive. He doesn't like driving. So it just that's why I had a problem with the first trailer, but this trailer it's much more Jack Reacher-ish.
Can we talk about another trailer?
Sure.
World War Z.
What a disaster!
Why is it Left 4 Dead? Is what?
Yeah, and where did that come from? I got into a conversation on Facebook on one of my friends' pages, and someone said that Max Brooks approved of the story and that it doesn't have anything to do with the book. It's a story told from another point of view during what was going on. It's like, it's such a bullshit excuse for not doing what the book was, which was this fantastic, like, dreadful,
it's like different people's,
it's like a political game, and it's horrific, and it's really hard to describe the book because it's told from so many different places and points of views and times during the zombie apocalypse.
And, well, I know, like, the trailer, while I know it's a teaser, there's footage of the so-called zombies, and they're running, to me, it seems super fast.
And it's like a wave.
It's what I thought of it is it's a swarm, like bees in a cartoon or something. You know, a bee's shape of a fist and punch you.
They kind of fall over each other and all that.
Yeah. While that image would be kind of cool for something else, we know that the Max Brooks zombies are slow lumbering George Romero.
The Max Brooks zombies are George Romero zombies.
Right. So when you see that, you're like, wait a second. I haven't read the book, but even I know that it's not to be those kinds of zombies. It's closer to Walking Dead zombies.
Or Raid zombies from 28 Days Later.
Yeah, they're like the infected from Left 4 Dead is what they seem like, where they come busting through the door and they're jumping everywhere. That's what it looks like. It looks like, first of all, Mark Forster... I don't get excited over hearing his name, but...
Mark Forrester. Because I really liked him. I really liked him as a director with his first films, especially like Finding Neverland. That movie had like an emotional resonance for me. And I was really excited when I heard he was going to do Quantum of Solace because I thought he was, you know, he could do something visually impressive and interesting. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing because Quantum of Solace was a mess and this movie looks like a mess and he's, you know, I'm tired of him. Like, go away. Stop messing with things I love.
Like, if this was a Left 4 Dead movie, I might go, oh, that's interesting, but it's not. That's why it looks, I don't know.
I mean, he should stick to the, like, heavy dramatic films like that he did, like Monsters Ball, Finding Neverland, Stranger Than Fiction, stuff like that.
And you know what I got annoyed by? A lot of the headlines I saw were, watch Brad Pitt kick zombie butt in new trailer. He doesn't kick any butt. He's running for his life.
Yeah.
Or he's just standing and watching. He's not, like, kicking any zombie butt. Why does it even say that?
Yeah, I'm just so annoyed by this thing. Like, the whole idea of the like, social commentary that was involved in World War Z, like, the fear of it, there's none of it there. It
just looks stupid. There's an audiobook that's really cool?
Yeah, there's an abridged audiobook. Right. That actually won an award, I think, when it came out. It's Alan Alda, Mark Hamill, John Turturro. It's like, it's more of a performance, almost like a radio play than an audiobook.
Even though it's abridged. Even though it's abridged, I'd like to hear it.
But
I want to hear the part where they describe the swarming zombies.
Yeah, well, I think the most uncomfortable one is the first story where they talk about where they believe the origin of the zombie pandemic was, and that was in China, and how patient zero was this little boy, and where they think it came from, and then it spreads to Israel, and they're the first ones to take it seriously, and they start imposing this quarantine. And it's just a play on different kind of war states, because it was based on a World War II book called The Good War, an oral history of World War II. So it mixes politics and survivalism and everything, like that whole idea of a world war into the zombie genre. And it's fascinating and it's frightening. And there's just none of that in the trailer.
Yeah, this is the teaser, so I'll wait to see more, but it looks ridiculous so far.
Yeah.
And send me that audiobook. Okay.
Well, it's fantastic. You will not be able to sleep. I know you put audiobooks on at night. When you put it on, dude, you will have the worst nightmares.
Yeah, maybe I should, in the daylight.
You need to listen to it in the car.
Turn all the lights on in the house.
Because I did that. I made that mistake of listening to it at night. And I had the worst freaking nightmares.
Oh, boy. All right, let's do What's on our TiVos? Woohoo! Now, we're going to talk about two shows and then take a break. All right? So if anyone needs to go to the bathroom, hold on. We'll just, we're going to gloss over
it.
Yeah. No, the first show, Face Off. Did anyone watch the entire season? I did. Did you guys finish it all up?
Yes.
Watched the live episode.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. Happy with who won?
No.
I was rooting for Laura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
same
even
here.
The dude. I have nothing. I have nothing against the chick with the colored hair. That's fine. She won, I guess. But
I don't think she's that talented.
She did a few good things, and then...
Well, she was eliminated and then brought back.
I mean, that's
since she came back, she did better.
Yeah, she was better. But
all the other guys just kind of killed themselves doing just horrific things.
Right. I was really rooting for Laura, though. And the guy who did all the old guy, remember?
Cowboy hat guy?
Yeah, hat guy, Roy.
Roy.
When he was... eliminated.
I thought he would win the whole thing.
Yeah, for a while I thought that. But then you saw that they were getting tired of him doing the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
And then it didn't seem like he could do any better. He needed to kind of have his extras to like overcompensate for the fact that he couldn't really do a regular makeup that was that
clever
or anything. Mm-hmm. But one thing I thought was funny was that when he was... they bring back the other contestants to help out. He was like, why should I try so hard? I'm not going to get the prize money or whatever. There's always someone who says that, isn't there, on all these shows?
Someone who's a little bitter still. It's probably still pretty raw for him.
Yeah. But I was bummed Laura didn't win, but I'm sure they'll all get jobs doing something, right?
Yeah.
But on this clip here, the judges talk about what projects they're working on next. And... And I did like that little bit where it talked about Glenn Hetrick and Neville Page, the big words they say all the time.
Yeah, I have a feeling they live in their thesauruses.
Woohoo!
edges, but we also are lucky enough to have our own industry titans right here. And the fans are asking what you gentlemen are up to now. Glenn, let's start with you.
Currently building and designing all the effects for CSI New York and Hunger Ooh. Games 2 with V. Ooh. And I'm working on another project, which I've written and produced, called Necroscope, which is a series of books by Brian Lumley.
Okay. Shut cool. your mouth.
Patrick, how about you?
Just finished a new 300 movie in Eastern Europe, designing the beast for New Beauty and the Beast, a European production, and casting for my next directing job, starting beginning of the year.
That'll be good.
Very cool. Neville?
I just finished working with J.J. Abrams on the most recent Star Trek. Been working with Stephen DeKnight, the creator of Spartacus, on his new...
Oh, no!
...season of science fiction called Incursion.
And actually
have been working with Brian Grazer in Blacklight and a lot of development. And the last thing that's kind of interesting, which a lot of people wouldn't know about, is I'm developing a creature design book that is being published by Design Studio Press.
Called Four Arms.
That is amazing.
Four Arms.
It's great to know you guys are up to. Now, we all love our amazing judges, but there are definitely times when we've all wondered if Glenn and Neville are the only two people in the room who have any idea as to what they're talking about.
I'm disappointed in what you've done this week. You sort of have this very indiscriminately applied garish makeup. It is calamitous.
Yeah, it's écorché-ish.
The bald cap in the back, it gives you a primary, secondary, and a tertiary level.
Really felt so Cro-Magnon-like in a way.
And the sternomastoids, they're discordant. It's a goiterous aberration.
His dissertation of love was quite palpable.
That loathsome device known as Fun Fur to just kind of obfuscate all of...
What?
You rebuttress my point.
The iconography. And
iconography.
There is no connection.
Antediluvian technology.
What?
Antediluvian technology.
The uni goos.
Octopus. The cephalopod aspect.
Sexual dimorphism, etc.
What the hell?
Scroll about these.
Tentacular.
Mephitic.
Refractory period.
Flaccid.
Boob fish.
Very similar to anesthetical environment. It's myopically focused, very efficacious, subcutaneous, and scintillating. The quintessence, seafaring ambivalence.
Oh, I'm glad you're talking about me.
Oh, so wacky. Good times.
I can't stand either of them.
You know, I did love Laura's Earth Witch thing. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you remember it, Steven?
Mm-hmm.
I did think her demon was a little kind of like not that exciting, but she still should have won.
Yeah. I mean, overall.
I did think the action stunt show was hilarious, though.
Those wow. are always so Good painful times. To watch.
So bad. It's just like it is like
the
at Six Flags.
Dance.
Yeah.
Have you, like, I remember seeing the Batman stunt show and how lame it is, really.
Yes.
It's just you go on something high so you can fall off and land on the cushions and stuff. You know? That's basically what it is. Or an explosion. Everyone goes, woo! And, you know, guys
oh my
fly
God.
Through
people on guide wires.
They jump on their springs. And yeah, it's kind of funny. Now, one more show I'm going to talk about. Then we're going to take a break. It's called Iron Chef Redemption. Bill, what is it that the guy says on every Iron Chef?
A la cuisine?
Yes. What is that all about? The theatricality of it is hilarious.
Well, that's where, that just comes from Japan.
Did you notice on the set they have these giant metal doors, which are probably made out of cardboard or something?
Cardboard,
they go,
yeah, spray painted.
I love the sound effects of that. But on this season, they have Spike from Life After Top Chef and Marcel from Marcel's Quantum Kitchen.
Mini Wolverine.
Yes.
I guess Quantum Kitchen isn't coming back.
I don't think it is. definitely not coming back.
Death in the kitchen.
Unfortunately. You know, but it also has a couple of chefs that we've seen before, like on Top Chef. One of them is Tim Love.
Yes.
And another lady from Top
Alex
Chef.
Alex Gornishelli.
Who?
Alex Gornishelli.
Yeah, but she's not from Top Chef, is she?
That's,
I don't know.
Oh, that's... Yeah, that's the Iron Chef.
Huh?
Redemption? Oh, you're Top Chef Redemption. Sorry.
No. I'm talking about Iron Chef Redemption.
Yeah,
Jesus
she's in
Christ,
it.
I'm confused.
But it does have Marcel, Mini Wolverine, Steven.
Wolverine, snickety snort.
Yes. One thing that I thought was funny is there's this one guy, he goes, I was the first one eliminated last time because I got crickets. That was a bullshit you know, item, and I want to get started again and do well and kick some ass. And they're like, well, guess what? You want redemption. You're going to do crickets again. He's like, what? That was pretty funny. But most of all, I like seeing how grumpy Tim Love was during the whole thing. He's like, I'm going to make the salad, but then I'm going to make me my own steak. I'm hungry. What was that about?
Yeah, what did he get? He got kale, right?
Yeah, he got kale and put some bacon grease in it or something.
Well, but then, I mean, kale is a really tough ingredient because it's super bitter. And there's really only two ways to cook it. Like,
they said,
like kind of roast it or blanch it. It's just, it's tough. And he's a steak guy, so he's just having his little fit.
So let's check this out.
Chefs, I apologize for this rather unorthodox approach, but I got the high sign from one of the judges suggesting that they might want to change their vote.
Good old Alton Brown.
We have it all straightened out now. Chef Vigneron, the judges are intrigued with you and your work, so you, sir, survive to cook another day.
Instantly get a huge rush of relief. I'm literally like,
I was going to say Coda.
Chef Middleton, although you cooked a very, very nice scallop, the judges felt that the dish lacked focus, and they believe that you can do better. I'm afraid you are going to be cooking in the secret ingredient showdown.
It's just like the worst feeling in the world. If I get voted off first again, that's something that's going to be really embarrassing for me.
Chef Love, everyone felt that the salad was really terrific. Resourcefulness, not terribly. And you even mentioned the fact that you had time to cook a steak, which you didn't bother to serve anybody. And that kind of gave people a feeling that perhaps a little laziness had been involved.
I made a dish exactly the way I wanted to make it. And I'm lazy for it. Oh, yeah, it pisses me off.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry, but that means that the two of you will be facing head-to-head in our secret ingredient showdown, where you will be cooking to stay in this competition.
I'm just really upset that I put myself in this position again, and that I'm cooking against such a great chef like Chef Love. It's like deja vu all over again.
One of you, however, will not be the next Iron Chef. That's the way the game goes.
I was so pissed off, but getting pissed off doesn't make you win. Getting even does.
Today, two very strong chefs went back into the kitchen. Both of you found inventive ways around the death fruit. Chef Middleton, you decided to balance the sweetness of the pineapple with chilies.
I'm feeling great about the dish I put forward, you know, really focused. But yeah, I felt the same kind of confidence last time.
Chef Love, you decided to actually pickle yours, something that nobody here had ever had before, and then balance that with the sweetness of corn.
I felt like I made a more aggressive, adventurous dish. I think he made something a little more traditional. I mean, sweet and sour. I've pretty much seen sweet and sour multiple places.
In both your cases, you cooked proteins perfectly. Chef Love, whale, dead on.
Tell us how to,
Chef Middleton, the branzino, was exactly where it needed to be.
In my mind, I'm being really confident, but doesn't mean I'm not, like, tearing myself up inside and I'm not sweating. If I were to go home today, it would be a huge slap in the face.
But in the end, based on just two plates of food, the judges found unanimously that one of your dishes really put the pineapple at the very center.
My dish was focused on pineapple.
And that chef today was you, Chef Middleton. You survived to cook another day.
It felt like this
Spike
huge
is on two shows right
rock
now.
Just had like literally,
oh my God,
you know, just got thrown
it
off my shoulders.
Chef Love, I'm sorry, but you won't be the next Iron Chef. We appreciate your offer.
This is some bullshit.
I absolutely thought I'd won.
Where's my steaks?
You feel like you get kicked in the nuts. I mean, nobody likes to lose. I'm out.
Steven, have you ever been to a Tim Love place?
No.
Lonesome Dove or any of that?
Mm-mm.
He has a place called Lonesome Dove.
Yep. Lonesome. But you say it like this. Lonesome Dove. But I want to check that out sometime. But I'm going to still watch that show. Alton Brown, he lays it on a bit thick, doesn't he?
Well, it's because he's... That's the whole idea of the show is
it's
that
supposed
you
to be
know,
very,
spectacle and goofy.
Yeah, over the top and serious.
Yeah.
That's what's so funny is when Mark Dacascos comes on the screen and all the chefs are watching it like it's serious. You know they want to go,
yeah,
like, Mark Dacascos. That's not That's not the chairman. That's a dude who's on Crow's Stairway to Heaven.
I saw him in a movie with Dwayne Wayne.
He made all the bad direct-to-DVD movies.
This guy's a huge celebrity. I saw Only the Strong, and he did that capoeira. That was awesome. All right, guys, let's take a break. And
is
when
that
we get
Eddie
back,
Gordo?
Eddie Gordo wins. We'll do Kitchen Nightmares. We'll talk right. about it. We're not going to do it. We're going to talk about it. All right. Be right back, everyone.
Chocolate lovers, watch out.
Hostess Choco gives you sweet sensation. Moist chocolatey cake with chocolatey filling. Chocolatey icing so smooth. Oh, Choco gives you sweet sensation.
Medical news from Nuprin.
Moments ago, a medical study reported the best news for tough headaches in over 10 years. Beyond regular strength aspirin, beyond extra strength Tylenol, there's a higher level of pain-relieving strength, Nuprin strength. Two little Nuprin are stronger than extra strength Tylenol, so Nuprin stops headaches better. And remember, Nuprin is gentler to your stomach than aspirin. For strength beyond extra strength Tylenol, Nuprin strength.
My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day, and if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
If the name's Oscar Mayer, it's quality meat and no fillers, just the best that it can be.
You want a bite?
C.D. Bales has a small problem.
Hey, big nose.
He can handle every situation.
15 love.
Except the one that matters most.
Roxanne.
Maybe you'd like some wine with your nose. Cheese.
This time I want you to do it, Dave. I want you to cut that thing off.
Tell Roxanne that you love her.
Steve Martin. Daryl Hannah.
Say something romantic.
Darling.
Roxanne. Rated PG. Starts Friday at select theaters.
Hello, I'm Orville Redenbacher with my new improved microwave popping corn.
Fewer unpopped kernels than ever before.
And I give you lots more popped corn, which is good. Because once you start eating it, you won't want to stop.
Orville Redenbacher.
Up to 10 cups more per box.
Crunchy time. Beats the heat. Not too tart, not too sweet. Tin bag lemonade, we bag win. Crunchy time, cheer for me and you again. Yeah.
As a hospital volunteer, I've noticed instead of Tylenol, patients here get Anacin 3.
A major hospital system replaced Tylenol tablets with Anacin 3, same aspirin-free medicine as Tylenol, but it costs them less.
Anacin 3 can cost you less, too.
If you're not giving your sandwich French's mustard, it may not like it.
No!
So come on, give them what they want. French's mustard. Be good to your food.
The ice cream angel.
Wow! I'm going to show you something new. Heaven sundaes on a stick.
Oh, meow!
Made with rich premium ice cream, swirls of creamy fudge, covered with a dark chocolatey coating and roasted peanuts.
Can I have another heaven sundae?
New heaven sundaes. They taste so good, we just had to call them heaven. Try a double fudge bar.
Oh, I can't eat chocolate. I can't. It looks so rich. I can't. So creamy. I can't. So sinful. I can't. I can't. I really can't.
It's from Weight Watchers.
Oh, yes, I can.
Weight Watchers double fudge bars.
So chocolatey. So smooth. And it's from Weight Watchers. So it says, yes, I can.
Troubled by bad breath? Then have a Milk-Bone dog biscuit to help scrape away plaque and food particles to give you cleaner teeth, fresher breath. Get Milk-Bone because, naturally, every dog wants fresher breath.
Wednesday.
Dolly Parton is staying in town secretly.
Working 9 to 5.
It's Perfect Strangers. And Arvid unveils a new image.
Is that Arvid Ingen or General Patton?
It's Head of the Class.
Tonight.
I love it at dawn. The whole world seems fresh and brand new again.
As light and clear now as the juice of a fresh-cut pineapple. That's today's Dole 100% pure pineapple juice. Pineapple orange and pineapple grapefruit, too. All with a brand new taste of morning.
You know, Christopher, it's mornings like these that remind me of when I was a little boy.
Yeah, me too.
That's the nature of Dole.
I say, what's all the ruckus?
I'm a chicken hawk and I can't catch any chickens.
Don't be a lunkhead, son. You want to know how to get great chicken? Go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
We do chicken right. You've got sunburn pain.
Medicated Noxzema skin cream cools sunburn pain instantly. So you'll say,
ah, oh yeah.
Noxzema cools the burn fast.
Ah.
Couldn't you go for it?
Come on, you can't let a few years slow you down.
Couldn't you go for it?
Move it, move it. Ah.
Couldn't you go for the clean, clean taste of Lipton?
This thirsty, Lipton iced tea tastes pure, light, clean, not syrupy and sweet like a soft drink.
The clean, clean taste of Lipton tea right now.
Ah, you can also get that great clean taste in Lipton decaffeinated tea.
No matter how hard you try, you just can't wrestle as much cavity-fighting fluoride out of Crest as you can out of this. Introducing Extra Strength AIM, the only extra strength cavity fighter.
Sorry, Colgate. Looks like your 20 years of maximum fluoride protection is going right down the tubes. Introducing Extra Strength AIM with 50% more fluoride. The only extra strength cavity fighter.
Meet Cindy, our sailor. Cindy's got that sinking feeling because she's wearing a diaper with a droopy waist that leaks. Ahoy, Cindy! Here's Kleenex Huggies diapers to bail you out. Huggies are thick and absorbent with soft, cuddly, elastic waistbands to help stop those leaks. So Huggies hug all over to help stop leaking and help keep babies happy. Now Cindy's wearing Huggies, and it's smooth sailing from now on. Right, Cindy?
What's for dinner? Well, Lipton recipe soup mixes give you days and days of delicious ideas. So what's for dinner? Lipton.
There's something about a train. There's something about a train that's magic.
This summer, why not give the kids a real train ride? Amtrak's Auto Train is offering 40% off the regular adult and automobile fares to Florida. And for children under 12, 70% off.
All aboard America. All aboard Amtrak.
Gonna have me some fun.
Well, this sucks. What the hell's going on with my headset? I only have sound on my left. There's no right sound.
So maybe one of the wires got broken or
right
something?
Channel. I don't know. Let's see. Hold on a sec. It's already taped together, so we knew this would happen eventually one day. But it's stereo for you guys, right? So
yep.
That's all that matters.
Sounds fine to me.
All right. Well, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. You know, there was this is actually the third episode, the one from last night. I just happened to watch it today.
I haven't watched it yet.
Have you watched the first two with the sisters who didn't know what the hell they were doing?
Yes.
And why didn't they just ask their parents how to run a successful place who were down the street?
Because they're ignorant.
The one funny thing is when Gordon goes to their parents to get some tiramisu, you know, he wants to taste some delicious tiramisu. But that episode, entertaining as always, right, guys?
Yeah, but star. Two parts were the entertaining?
Wasn't worth two parts. They could have done two parts on this, guys.
And it's like nobody ever watches this show.
Yeah, they should have done two parts with this guy and went to the shrink with him.
Mama Maria's. Mama Maria!
So yeah, they all think they know more than Gordon does.
Yeah, they always do that. They don't want him to see how bad the food is. But I want to talk about this week. Here's a guy who... His parents owned a pizza place, Sal's Pizzeria. How many Sal's Pizzerias are there in Boston, Bill?
I think Brooklyn? They need at least three or four pages.
Was this place in Brooklyn? Yo, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
His father has died, and next door they opened a restaurant for his mom. She died. And so now he's running both, and he's kind of trapped in this nostalgia. The ghosts of his parents are still there, right?
Yeah. And well, so it's kind of, they are in his head.
Yeah, and I guess we've seen this so many times with so many restaurant owners where they just don't care anymore, yeah. Or they're just going through the motions. There's no passion or anything, and it's up to Gordon
to give the passion back.
Yes.
I want to give you the most amazing passion.
But here's the best part. At the beginning, how funny was it, Bill? Did you see when Gordon says, "What's with this plant? It smells." And he picks it up and he dumps water all over himself and he's spilling it.
I didn't know what it was at first. I thought it was like dust, and then I realized it was water.
It's a stagnant water.
He even spills it on some people sitting at a table. They're like, "Ah!" And he's like, "I'll pay for your dry cleaning."
Someone's been watering the plants.
Yeah, way too much. That was pretty funny. Another one is the girl comes around. You know, at restaurants where they have the mock-up of dessert, but it's fake.
Right.
I don't know. What is it, like something that they just spray or something? I don't
Sometimes,
know.
Yeah. It's like they make it and then they like shellac it so that they never have to make it again.
So he picks it up and he's like, it's got mold on it, like this chocolate cake.
Does it come with the mold?
And he's like, oh, well, that
oh, yeah, and they're
matter.
Like, the icing is just this lump of butter.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's no big deal. It has mold on it. It's just, you don't eat this. It's just show you what it looks like. He goes, really? You couldn't make a new one? But my favorite part is when he goes into the freezer, Bill. And he's like, oh, my God. He just keeps taking all this shit, just piles and piles. There was so much.
My favorite were the meatballs that were already moldy.
Yeah,
like, oh, we're going to use those one day.
Wow. But there's a part, Steven, where a guy eats some bad lobster tail.
Oh, that guy was such a con artist.
He's in the bathroom. He comes out, and he's all like, oh, I don't feel so good. And they, like, call an ambulance. Do you think
you know what? I had bad lobster before. I made the mistake of one New Year's Eve. We would always get lobsters for New Year's Eve. And one New Year's Eve, I didn't break down the lobster
the
after I cooked it.
The most amazing lobster.
The most amazing lobster. I didn't break the tail off the body after I cooked it. I just put it in the fridge. And the digestive juices that cooked got into it. And I ate it the next day. And I got so sick 12 hours later.
Oh, man.
You do not get instantly sick. You do not go, oh, my God, this is – oh, I'm so ill. Oh,
that guy ate at Papa John's before he came there.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say we check out this clip? Awesome.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm healthy. How are you?
Good. I'm Fran. Nice to meet you.
Fran, nice to meet you. What'd you do?
I just showed the desserts.
Oh, okay. Let's have a look. Show me. Wow. So they showcase the desserts.
So this is our desserts. Everything's made here fresh on premise.
This is chocolate with cicadas.
What is that?
It's butter.
It's butter?
Yeah, just to display as the ice cream.
And that mold on there, can you show that?
No, the butter's on top, so it covers that.
And that bit there?
Yeah.
And Fabio, you're the general manager, right? So you've got no idea of this. We're presenting those moldy bits of... And it's stuck with butter on top?
No, those are just for display.
Hold on. Because they're for display, you've got the right to cake them in mold and serve customers a display that's full of mold.
So are we supposed to, like, put a fresh one every day so we can throw it out?
Are you kidding me? What do you think?
I think that, you know, as long as it's, I mean, it's fresh, it's good. I mean, but I wouldn't.
Have you lost the plot?
No, I haven't.
It's changed colors 4 times, and it absolutely reeks.
All I'm saying is that this is for display. We're not serving it.
So, do the customers deserve a display that's full of... Oh, my God. He's ripping into him. He's ripping into him, man. Look at this mess. Oh, my God. That, it must be 2 months old.
It's probably a few days old.
A few days?
We don't serve it. It's for presentation.
I'm aware you're not serving it. Thank Gold Star. Congratulations on that one. That's a big breakthrough with you.
That's why you're here.
Gold Star.
That's why you're here.
I'm here to tell you that you shouldn't be presenting it.
No,
you don't know the difference between mold and fresh?
It's for presentation only.
Give me 2 seconds. I need to clean my hands. I'm caked in mold. I've got disgusting butter. And I've got...
hands full of pus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, almighty.
Chef Ramsay may have pledged his help to John, but he needs to get a handle on everything before he can implement changes. So early this morning, he does a little research.
I love this so much.
What is this? Bloody hell. Time to see how much frozen food there really is.
The most amazing frozen pasta.
Yes. Bloody hell, fettuccine. Penne. They said they had frozen food, but I certainly wasn't aware there was this much. Oh my God. This goes on. Endless. How much pasta's in here? Look at
pasta.
The
pasta.
It's frozen badly. No date, no name. Look at it.
Oh, I believe it's pasta. Pasta.
What is that?
And all these boxes of castanets in them.
I mean, honestly, look at this. Buckets of them.
Buckets of castanets.
That's just out of two freezers. And look, there's more freezers down there. Oh, my God. You are kidding me. Chicken, freezer burnt. Oh, man, look at this. This must be 5 years old, this stuff. It's ruined. You can't cook that. Oh, my God. Oh, this is a joke. Look at that. Oh, come
on. It was an episode of Freezer Wars.
This is ridiculous. They're frozen molded. What's that? Oh, God. The labels. Another freezer. Frozen vegetables, frozen pasta. My God. I don't even know what it is.
A nice container. I've never heard so many.
Look
oh my God.
Freezing tiramisu? You are kidding me. Oh, that's eggplant. How many portions of food is here? I mean, it's just endless. Oh my God.
This is tiramisu that his mother made.
The freezing tiramisu. There was one part where he confronts him in front of his staff, and finally the guy's like, you know, the specials have never changed. He goes, these are my mama's specials. And he, like, they realize just how sad he is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even want to erase the specials board because it was his mom's.
Yeah.
And the guy's in a just, he's a mess.
Yeah, he's in a bad, bad place.
It was cool how they did the tables with newspaper clippings of his parents and stuff.
Yeah, that's how you celebrate someone's life like that. We've seen that a million times on this show where somebody was holding on to somebody in kind of the wrong way.
Right.
You know, like grieving them in this very depressing state where instead of celebrating the history and the contribution.
I think I've been doing that with Nora and Mulberry. I think of like the... well, I'm serious. The... I've never changed the name Nora Mulberry to something that's easy to recognize.
To remember?
Yeah, easy to remember in any way, like, say, TV Talk with Jason, Steven, and Bill or something like that.
I always liked Entertainment Landfill.
Right. Why can't I just change the name? What am I holding on to, you know? Jason, what's wrong with you?
You can't change the specials.
Let it go.
You're $500,000 in debt. It's like, yeah, it costs a lot to host these podcasts, Gordon.
Yeah, and there's no appreciation given
back. You live
back.
In an RV outside your house. Why? It's my podcast headquarters.
That there's an RV.
It costs $1 million. Yeah, well, you know, how many secretaries do you have? Well, we have needed somebody to answer the phones.
How many pairs of headphones do you have?
How many microphones do you own? Well, you never know when we'll have guests on.
Look at the one you've got on your head. It's broken.
You hear mono sound right now. It's like, yeah, I know.
Stereo
it's a
is unnatural.
Just ask Herbie Hancock. Oh, I love Herbie Hancock. So, anyway, we love Gordon. He fixes lives, doesn't he? Oh, one
he
thing
does.
I wanted... The last episode, when he's like... Oh, dear. And he walks away and he goes, well, we fixed this up. I didn't think we would and whatever. And he walks away kind of shaking his head. All of a sudden, the lady comes out. Chef Ramsay, wait.
You can't leave.
And he's like, no, I got to go. No, come back. I was like, what
the fuck off me. I've got to get out of here.
Get your ass.
Get
off
your
me.
Fat arse away from me.
good time. Okay, let's talk about life after Top Chef, Bill. Love the show. Awesome.
Oh, my God. I have a really hard time watching it.
You know what? Who I've tuned in to watch has shifted now. Like, originally I was more interested in Richard. I'm less interested in him now.
Yeah, I don't want to see anything with Richard because I can't stand him anymore.
He's really boring, isn't he?
He's boring and he's just an ass.
He's really passive-aggressive, we've determined. Like, when he's trying to make his menu for his investors,
yeah,
he's really passive about it, isn't he?
I have to deal with passive-aggressive people every day in my family. I don't like watching them on television.
Right.
It's
really...
Like, it's irritating.
It's labor-intensive to put up with that. I do like Fabio. I think he's a lot of fun, and he's got a good heart, and he's a crazy guy.
I think he surrounds himself with the wrong type of people, though.
You mean like Jacopo? What's wrong with Jacopo?
Well, I mean, just... He needs help, but he needs... The people that he surrounds himself with kind of perpetuate this craziness that he involves himself in, like this up, like always on the go kind of mentality.
Right.
And I think he just needs somebody to like sit him down and calm him down.
That's why he has his life coach.
That guy's such a con artist.
I know. What is a life coach?
I'm gonna crack your back. You feel better.
You know what I do like is Jen's mom. She's such a sweetheart.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She's a sweet lady. And there's what I can't stand is when Spike's parents come around.
Ugh.
His mom reminds me of like I hate to say this, you know, because we know Buddy's mom is very ill right now, but at one
she's
time
probably really in the throes of that ALS right now. Ugh.
Before that, you know, she had this over the top personality, much like Spike's mom does. She's like, "What you need to do is this," and he's like, "God, please." He's even you know, his parents own his other restaurants together. Yeah. It's like a family thing, so he always has to listen to her. But he wanted to do his own thing with his sister, but his mom still comes over and goes, "No, here's what you need to do." And he's just like, "Oh, God," or whatever. But I think a lot of it's played up for the cameras, don't you?
Sure, absolutely it is.
So let's go ahead and check this out and see how annoying it is. But anyway, steak frites sound good, though. That sounds delicious. What do you think, Bill?
Well, it's just... steak and fries.
Yeah, but it's that kind of... what is it, like, double fried? How, frits, as we're explained to me before.
Well, that's just how it's done. You fry them once at a lower temperature to cook the potato, and then you fry them again at a higher temperature to crisp it up and make it delish.
Sounds good.
Wow, I just said delish.
Delish. Don't you mean the most amazing, Bill?
The most amazing frits.
Let's check this out.
It's cheaper to have them made.
It's not really cheaper to have them.
It is.
No.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, it is.
No. My sister, like, always gets under my skin. And sometimes I just want to, like, strangle her.
I don't know if I do shake that anymore because we're going to keep that.
Oh, we're keeping this?
We're going to save some money on that, too.
What, are you crazy? We were entrepreneurs at a young age. She was sitting in front of the house with, like, a lemonade sign. And I had, like, no shirt and a boombox and a bandana rocking it out, selling lemonade. That's funny how, as much as life changes, some things just don't change at all.
I think we should keep the stairs, though.
One thing is that Mom and Dad might not come up visit us.
Some people look good with, like, 5 o'clock shadow. He looks horrible.
He looks like a homeless person.
That my sister and I are just kind of, like, ditching the two loony bins, my mother and father.
What are you guys doing here?
I brought your associate.
Are these really our neighbors? Did we really commit to this?
Being like two doors down from my parents, I know exactly what I'm getting into. I know that my parents are going to be there almost every single day, looking in their head and seeing what's going on, like they always have in their whole entire lives.
I'd say you should burn this whole place and start fresh.
You literally need a value to deal with my mother.
I just think it sucks, and it looks like old and... Here's what I would do instead. I would take it, okay? No, I would take the back bar, and I would not make this, like, indentation.
There's no way my mother is staying out.
Hi, Mom. I brought food up. Are you going to make my dinner? Thank God.
I'm making dinner for my mom and dad and
my
sisters.
Did you like her dad's, like, this kind of microwavable potatoes?
Your potato.
We've gotten this before.
My dad brags to everybody that he is the one who... gave me all of my skills and taught me how to cook.
5 minutes. You want me to do it?
5 minutes?
You want me to do it?
Can you handle putting them in the microwave?
No.
I don't have to defrost the potatoes?
No. Don't you know anything?
No.
Lord.
Jed, you need to come home more often. Dad doesn't give me meals like this.
All right.
So I'm doing the pop-up restaurant?
What exactly is a pop-up?
It means a temporary restaurant. So since I don't have my own space, we're going to go in and take the restaurant and turn it into mine.
So is it just for that one night? Can you explain it?
You have never heard of a pop-up restaurant?
I swear, never. Honestly,
Jesus Christ.
I don't know how many people know this pop-up, and are they going to look and go, hey, that's awesome. Oh, my God, Concrete Blonde just closed.
Like, go there and think it's Concrete Blonde and, right. and having to explain that it moved to a different location.
I just don't know anything about pop-up restaurants.
Jen, what you need Concrete to do Blonde. Is get Silent Sam in there.
That's not a name. What do you want to have there now, a rock band?
It's called Nightclub.
With this new thing.
She hands out like clubs that light up. Light up and people go and they dance. They're like the glow sticks that the kids have for Halloween, Jen.
Come on, Mom. This is not a rave.
But it is. Think any drugs go on there?
No.
No?
Not at all. Maybe Claritin because it's ours. Maybe Claritin.
With Kobe beef, that is a homemade meatball, grandma's meatball.
Bye.
My relationship with Jacopo at the restaurant, I do the back of the house, he does the front of the house. We are like G-string and tight jeans. We're like that.
Good Lord.
The way he has his restaurant arranged, it's like he makes it doubly hard for himself. I know exactly. Jacopo helps him, but he gets on a headset where he's talking to people and stuff because everyone wants to see him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like he's also making the food. He's like exhausted by the end of the night every
night.
He's
putting on a show every night.
Yeah, he's doing a show and he's just like, oh, I'm so tired.
I would rather him be in a kitchen where I can't see him making my food and concentrating on my food instead of putting on a show.
Right, and then at the end of the night, you come out and go, hey, do you like the food? I hope you enjoyed yourselves or something. But he's out there like, okay, everybody, I gotta go make the food. I'll be right back, you know? And they're like, oh, Fabio!
You know, and this whole pop-up restaurant thing, I feel so bad for Jen because pop-up restaurants are like things that really famous chefs do.
Right.
Like, it's something to generate interest and just kind of have fun with. Whereas what she's trying to do is generate interest in a restaurant that's only going to be there for like a week.
Oh, yeah.
It's not what she wants to do. It's
one thing that's cool that Spike did, though, is he called his investors and said, hey, you need to take a look at this chick. She's really good. And apparently they are going to. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was nice of him.
So he's not a total asshole.
He's not a
total
probably
just wants to get in her pants, though.
Yeah. What it baby is chewing on something, and it's crunchy.
Your headphone wire.
Yeah, that's why I only have sound on one ear.
She wants to listen too. Through her jaws.
Come here. What are you eating?
She keeps going to the backyard.
I'm not
going to
tell you.
Plastic pieces.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Top Chef Seattle. Did you guys check that out?
No.
I watched a tiny little bit of it.
One thing I'm excited about this season, special judge Emeril, special judge Wolfgang Puck. Come on, that's so much better than that Toby guy they used to have, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah, the British guy. What the hell was his name?
Wolfgang Puck said some things that might be offensive to women, like he's like, it looks like you'd put, it's like a woman with way too much makeup on. And he's saying like, a stove
he's
is like
Austrian.
A woman.
You know, it's just.
It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Are they all misogynistic assholes?
Yeah, they are.
This one lady's like, my stove burner's not getting hot. And he goes, stoves are like women. They never do what you want them to. And I'm like, what? But one thing is, basically, the premiere episode has the different judges in different restaurants. Hugh Atchison is a judge also. And
He's a strange bird.
Yes, he is. They have their own group of people that they say, okay, you're good enough to move on Seattle. Hugh Atchison has them make a salad. Emeril has them make a soup. Tom Colicchio had them work in his kitchen and just do a number of things like.
I'm getting annoyed with Tom Colicchio. He just seems like such a pompous asshole.
He sees how they can break down a chicken and, oh, and most of all, Wolfgang Puck, he has them make an omelet. Now, I want to say this. When he said an omelet, I was like, hey, like last year, I was making omelets every morning, like trying to perfect it, you know, and I was putting like.
But you're going to make an omelet with yak milk.
You weren't making a French omelet.
Yeah, I was green pepper, red pepper, onion, sausage sometimes. I was black beans sometimes. I was trying different things that
I
like.
You would make him pass out with your omelet.
But, you know, he's like, do you really know how to make an omelet? Some people do. Some people, they just kind of, they burned it. Or I could see when they were overcooking the omelet, like, oh, yeah. Shit, it's like way too brown, you know? So I was wondering, like, even though I'm not a chef, I might have been able to get through this first wave and go to Seattle, but then get eliminated immediately.
I'm in Coffee Town.
Like, yes, I'm on Top Chef, but you're not a chef, Jason. Hey, want to make an omelet? And I did.
She chewed up my pen. That's what it was.
Oh, your pen fell out and she took it?
Yeah.
Was it white?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's gone, dude. Where's the ink part?
Yeah, where's the ink?
It's not. No, it's not anywhere in here, man. It's outside.
Because it was in my side pocket here.
She probably swallowed it. She'll be dead in a minute. All right, Top Chef Seattle. Let's check this out.
The judges have been tasked with selecting only the best chefs to move forward, and Wolfgang Puck is ready to see who has the skills to make the final cut.
My chefs, come on in.
I admire Wolfgang a lot. I had the pleasure to cook for him when I was chef of Reyes in New York. I used to be married with the owner of Reyes, Frank Pellegrino Jr. I have no idea what's going to happen, you know, from this point on.
I want to look who are the most qualified chefs to go to Seattle. Now, that could be all of you.
How long have you been in this country,
dude? Only one of you.
I can't believe that this iconic chef is going to judge us. And my knees turn to jelly.
You know, when I was a young chef, I went to a restaurant and the chef asked me, you know how to cook, young man? And I said, for sure I know how to cook. I was 18 years old and so confident.
No, he wanted to know if he knew how to cook, young man.
I put olive oil in it, beat the eggs up. The eggs fluffed up like crazy. You know what he told me? He said, this is like shitting in your own bed.
Threw
it away. Now, I'll judge you the same way I was judged. Make me an omelet.
I often do omelets at my restaurant in Chicago, but this time it's different. It's for Wolfgang Puck. He kind of holds my future in his Austrian hands.
I also will be looking for the overall presentation. It's really important that an omelet looks perfect. So you really have to know your skills, all right?
What do you, Jeff, how about you, Bill?
You
do you like
45
omelets?
45 minutes.
Yes, I love them.
Let's get cooking.
You know, there's one Asian girl that seemed really nice, and she was kind of like timid, you know? And this one guy goes, hey, way to go, Origami. And he called her Origami.
Holy shit.
What an asshole.
Hello, Mr. Racist.
Down, I'm gonna do it right.
I'm an omelet away from Seattle. Holy shit.
I like it soft in the middle. It's really important as a contestant on Top Chef to be able to sink fast. So if you mess something
sink
up
faster.
And it doesn't look this right way, said, what can I do to make it look better?
My omelet looks a little too brown, so I make a salad to garnish the top, but overcooking the omelet could cost me a spot in Seattle.
You make something so easy, so complicated. I think overall, I love the creativity. You
what?
All put your heart in it, and I saw the hard work you all did here. I made my final decision. Five of you will go to Seattle. And one of you did not make it.
I think I'm the one who's going home because of the salt.
Daniel, the presentation of your omelet was not up to par. Back your knife.
Thank you very much.
It's like, what the f***? Now I'm pissed off.
It's just a little, it's.
And the guy who got eliminated, Bill, was the guy who called the girl origami. Oh, nice. What's wrong with baby? What else we got?
More pieces.
Oh, another pin piece.
She's bringing it a little at a time.
You little shit. You dirty rat. Another thing, Bill, is like the Asian girl. He goes, why do you, how do you think you
why
can
why are you yellow?
He did not say that. No. He said, do you think you have a chance to win Top Chef? And she goes, yes, I do. I want to go to Seattle, drink Starbucks coffee. Mm. So I thought that was cute.
So everyone loves Starbucks.
Not me.
Yeah, I can't stand it. It tastes like burntness to me.
Mmm, delicious burntness.
You lost the plot.
Have you lost the plot?
Baby has. She's lost the pen.
Pissed me off.
She's chewed it up.
Yeah, she's always chewing on stuff, man.
I'm literally like, whew.
All right, let's talk about Fringe. I haven't watched this week's Fringe, the one that came on last night.
No, yeah, me neither.
I know you guys both watched it. And you want to spoil it for me, right?
I didn't watch it when I got
Peter is an alien.
Damn it!
They're all dead.
They're all in purgatory.
They're all dead, yeah.
And Peter has asthma. It's horrible.
Can't find his inhaler.
Future asthma.
There, last week's episode, the week... Okay, Bill, I know you were kind of shaky on Etta. You weren't sure why her character was there or whatever. How did you feel over her character's fate?
I was indifferent, honestly. I mean, I understood the motivations, like what happens after she passes.
Do you
like kind
feel
of the anger of they've lost her twice kind of thing?
I felt bad because I love Peter and Olivia so much. I felt so bad for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But Peter's going like gung ho. He's pissed.
He wants to kill every single observer, right?
Yeah.
He wants to destroy them. And
I'm afraid that he's going to become like, it's going to turn like him and Olivia are going to have to go at one another.
I hope not. But it's, what are the chances it's a happy ending?
There is not going to be a happy ending.
Oh, I just hope it's good and emotional. That's the way I like my Fringe, where I feel something. I want to feel something.
Yeah. I think this is the first episode where I've actually felt something. I was kind of not really a fan of the first few episodes.
Did you feel anger that he does?
No, but I felt like now we're getting somewhere.
Right.
Like there's motivation now.
The scene where Olivia is watching the video, that was pretty heartbreaking.
That was moving.
Because you see a happier time, you know?
But we also see a time that we never got to experience. So
right.
It lets us in on the...
I want to see that season where they're just happy and nothing ever happens. Nothing bad happens.
I just want to see the adventures of Walter during the happy season.
Yeah. But the one thing that they have that plan where they're going to collapse the portal with the antimatter bomb, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't that work, do you think? Do you think that the observers can just fix it or they have security measures in place or something?
I can't even speculate. I honestly can't because they obviously created the black hole.
Well, no, what they...
The black hole formed and sucked things in. It collapsed.
Yeah, and then another portal opened.
But he's saying the observer said that thing may not have been turned on right.
Oh.
I don't know. What I think happened...
Because he was saying, you know,
they have some
I can tell by your tells how to fix this thing. He goes, you know, he's saying how he looked at a fly to...
I don't know. I think the observers
were
manipulators of time. I think he did it correctly, and they just
I guess they did say that, too, because he said you went off of intuition.
They have some kind of course correction type.
But it would have
exactly.
blown
security
up if they hadn't hooked it up correctly.
Because there's so many timelines that can differ. They could say, okay, here this collapsed and everything was destroyed. Let's do this. And they fix it immediately or something. Because
they
can manipulate time.
Well, immediately to us, but to them this has been in the planning.
Right.
Like
it's very confusing.
Yeah.
But I do love the scene where Peter goes back to talk to the observer, and he's a little annoyed. He puts a bag over his head or puts a plastic. Let's check this scene out.
You can leave. I'll take it from here. Why didn't it work?
You don't even know what you don't know.
How do you know?
Going on a journey of revenge, dig two graves. Your friend was correct. Emotions get in the way of judgment.
Emotions did not get the better of me. I read your tells to help me assemble the device.
Your assertion regarding the involuntary response of the body to physical threat was interesting but highly antiquated. It does not apply to us. In truth, there was a fly on the window. As my cerebral cortex registered it, there was a small irregularity in my heartbeat, causing a slight deregulation of my oxygen to my brain, which in turn affected my oculomotor nerve. This oculomotor nerve is what caused my pupil to dilate. That's what you picked up on. My observation of a fly. But you ascribed meaning to something that was not there. You saw what you wanted to see. You believed
he was annoying
what you
me
wanted
at this
to
point
believe
too.
Because that's what your emotions
you
do.
Just wanted to kill
but
him.
I also Somebody think he was just meaning to totally something that is not there. Trying to get one up
they
on
fool
it.
Your perception as
I
to what is
I wanted Peter to shove a scalpel in his eye.
You're wrong.
A dog does
or
not
or his
smile.
Neck.
No matter how many times your kind might think it does. You put together the device because of your intuition and your knowledge and your experience as an engineer. You simply needed confidence. So, you made sure you saw what you needed in my reactions.
Yeah, start over what?
You
I lost the plot.
Death. But it is irrelevant. She was here. Now she is simply not here.
Did you feel that? She is not simply gone. She will be remembered, unlike you. If I kill you right now, no one will remember you. No one will miss you.
Miss me?
You are nothing but tech. I would be 10 times what you are if I had that tech in my head.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Right.
I'd totally shove one of those things in my neck.
Because, you know, what have I got to lose?
I did like when he stuck the thing in his neck, how it bored in, like...
Yeah, it was automatic. Like, oh, hey, look, there's a spinal cord. Let me.
Because I was wondering how he was going to do that.
I kind of was thinking, is he going to be like kind of the first observer?
Right.
That's what I was talking to Jason about. Like, has he unknowingly created something that creates his own demise?
I'm wondering that thing that implant he put in. What exactly does that do? What does that do to the observers?
It probably enhances, you know, it probably burrows into the base of the head and then enhances your ability to factor certain things.
I'm hoping it doesn't
maybe
make
it's
him
like,
into
maybe it's like a mini computer chip. Who knows?
Emotionless or anything. He's still Peter, but...
Well, he's definitely not emotionless, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's very emotional. What are you doing, dog? Have you choked on that pen piece yet?
When she comes in covered in ink, you'll know she's got that.
Oh my god!
Blue all over her face. What does she have there? It's a big block of wood.
Yeah.
God, she never stops. You know how many times I have to vacuum a day with this dog? There's splinters everywhere.
You know what you need to do during the show? Like when Steven comes around, you know you can go to like Petco and get those calming things.
Calming things.
It's like it's a calming scent. Like you plug it into the wall, like a like one of those plugins.
Oh, nice!
And it puts off this calming scent.
Oh,
and
God.
You can just put her in her crate next to it, and
like dog catnip.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I leave it plugged in 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
I tell Heather all the time we should have got like a extremely old basset hound. Dude,
I told you the beagles are never. Like, they're just nonstop.
I need a
they
dart
never
gun.
Calm down. Basset hounds? Yes.
Ah.
Basset hounds are like lap dogs.
There you go. Sorry, baby.
Beagles are always on the hunt.
Always.
Trading you in, baby.
Yeah. Oh, poor baby. Baby, come here.
No!
Oh, my God. All right, guys, let's talk about Walking Dead. Like Sean talked about earlier... It's only been 4 episodes of this show.
It felt like a season finale.
How much shit has already happened? What are you chewing on?
Probably more pieces.
Damn, dog. Give me my machete, Steven. Shing. Now, so much shit has happened in 4 episodes. And, you know, Bill, you and I were talking about how fearful we were of the governor.
Yeah.
Hello, Governor. Oh, Stephen's, oh.
Can't find it.
It's like that scene in Jaws, license plate comes out. What did you think of that episode with the governor? It's a toned-down governor, isn't it?
Yeah, it's he's more cerebral and less nutty.
Yeah, we know
I mean,
that.
Well, I mean, he's still nutty, obviously. Yeah. He's controlling and he's...
One thing I like is that he's got a screw loose and we have no idea what he's going to do because he's so nice and friendly.
Yeah, he's unpredictable, whereas the governor in the comic books is just a blatant lunatic.
There's that scene where he has with Andrea where he's just talking to her and she's like, yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow or leaving later. And he's like, hey, have a drink with me. And you're like, oh, he's poisoned her drink or he's put something in her drink. He's going to drug her. He's just going to grab her. He's going to have his way with her. He's going to lock her up. None of that shit happens. He just talks to her and she leaves.
Well,
you
that's
know?
What would happen in the comic book.
Yeah, in the comic book, he'd throw her down and tie her down and torture her or some
make
shit.
Make his zombie children eat her.
Yeah, it's just the most ridiculous shit
Chop
ever.
Chop her head off and put it in a fish tank.
One thing I like... Do you guys- When they had
that's not crazy.
When they had Merle in the first season, he was this racist, over the top cliche, and now he's kind of turning into a human being, you know?
Yeah, he's a little more subdued and he's still, you know, probably a horrendous racist, but
yeah, but he's like way like and I love the show is very dark, but they have scenes that crack me up like the governor hitting golf balls at walkers in the head and stuff.
Wasn't that in Zombieland?
Maybe. I know Bill Murray talks about...
he doesn't play golf.
Spoiler alert, guys. A guy talks about playing golf. But
It seemed like a similar scene, like I had seen that before.
I don't know.
And I still liked it, but I just felt like I'd seen it before somewhere.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It's
just kind of like the Dawn of the Dead where they're taking... Pot shots at the people, you know, Jay Leno and...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean,
it's just kind of a take on that.
All right, baby, settle down. We're doing a show. She's getting too worked up. So there's been... Basically, we talked about the very first episode, and then there was a second episode. I loved the episode with the convicts, because you're not sure where it's going.
Yeah.
And the one guy is... he seems dangerous, and... Rick decides, okay, we're going to give you this area. We'll help you clear it out, and you guys can live there. We'll split half the food. It seems pretty reasonable. But then the guy kind of swings his thing too close to Rick's head, and he kind of looks at him.
Throws a zombie at him.
He pushes one right at him, and he's like, hey, man, sorry, shit happens. He goes, yeah, shit happens. And then he's like, right in the skull. I thought that was awesome.
That was awesome.
As the tension was building in that scene, my heart was racing because I was like, what the hell is going to happen?
The rest of them are going to attack.
Yeah, some shit's going down. And then what was great is he chases down that Andrew guy and he goes, better run. And he's like, oh, man. And you think he's going to get ripped to pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was so great. In the beginning of this episode, you see somebody leaving deer parts or something to track the walkers.
And you see somebody watching them in the background anyways.
Right. Mm-hmm. And where, like, who the hell is this? And I'm like, oh, Bill, oh, no. Here's this serial killer storyline from the comic book.
Oh, Jesus.
I was really worried. But then they reveal who it is, and it's Andrew, the guy that we thought was ripped apart. I like that much better, that it was a guy we already knew who he was. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we don't even know what Andrew was in jail for. He could have been...
He could have been a serial
killer. He could have been a spree killer, something. We don't know. He could have been some kind of methodical...
But you take this prison back. Like, dude, really?
He could have been a genius sociopath, you know? And,
there's nothing else for him to do, so he wants to take the prison back.
He came close to killing everyone.
Yeah, he did.
And he resulted in some deaths. But anyway, let's check out this clip where two of the guys who seem like the friendlier of the convicts don't want to live in there no more.
That's close enough. We had an agreement.
Please, mister, we know that. We made a deal. But you got to understand, we can't live in that place another minute. You follow me? All the bodies, people we knew, blood, brains everywhere. There's ghosts.
When you move the bodies out,
You should be burning them.
We tried. We did.
The fence is down the far side of prison. Every time we drag a body out, those things just line up, dropping the body and just running back inside.
Look, we had nothing to do with Tomas and Andrew, nothing. You're trying to prove a point. You proved it, bro. We'll do whatever it takes to be part of your group. Just please, please, don't make us live in that place.
Our deal is non-negotiable. You either live in your cell block or you leave.
I told you this was a waste of time. They ain't no different than the pricks who shot up our boys. You know how many friends' corpses we had to drag out this week? Just threw them out like. These were good guys. Good guys who hide our backs against the really bad dudes in the joint, like Tomas and Andrew. Now, we've all made mistakes to get in here, Chief. And I'm not going to pretend to be a saint, but believe me, we've paid our due. Enough that we would rather hit that road than to go back into that shithole.
Come on, dude. Are you serious? You want them living in a cell next to you?
They'll just be waiting for a chance to grab our weapons. You want to go back to sleeping with one eye open?
I never stopped. Bring them into the fold.
I don't think I'd ever sleep with...
We might as well execute them.
Both eyes closed.
Axel seems a little unstable.
After all we've been through, we fought so hard for all this. What if they decide to take it?
It's just been us for so long. They're strangers. I don't... It feels weird all of a sudden having other people around.
You brought us in.
Yeah, but you turned over the shop on your own. You can give us a choice.
They can't even kill walkers.
They're convicts, bottom line.
Those two might actually have less blood on their hands than we do.
I get guys like this. Hell, I grew up with them. They're degenerates, but they ain't psychos. I could have been in there with them just as easy as I'm out here with you guys.
So you're with me?
Hell no. Let them take their chances out on the road, just like we did.
What I'm saying, Darryl.
When I was a rookie, I arrested this kid. 19 years old. Wanted for stabbing his girlfriend. The kid blubbered like a baby during the interrogation, during the trial. Suckered the jury. He was acquitted due to insufficient evidence. And then 2 weeks later, shot another girl. We've been through too much. Our deal with them stands.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys this. Would you let him in your group?
I would be hesitant.
Yeah, I'd be hesitant too.
Yeah. They seem so friendly though. I go, come on in!
Yes, friendly convicts.
But then just a few moments later is when all hell breaks loose, when all the walkers are in there. Mm-hmm. And I could see it coming. You could see, like, I've watched the scene several times where T-Dog, you know, he's fighting him off, and he's doing a pretty good job, and he's trying to shut the gate. You see one just kind of back there, kind of moving slowly, yeah. And like, hey, dude, turn around, dude, there's one right behind you. And I was like, where was Carol in that? Dude, look over, he could shoot that one. But T-Dog gets bit, and when he gets bit, you see like a spray, like a like that, and he's like, ah! And I don't know about you guys, but I went, T-Dog!
Yeah, right.
We're like, but, no! Finally, the most developed character on the show. No!
Yes, who apparently on The Talking Dead everyone loves.
Yes.
I've never seen someone kiss a non-essential character's ass as much
as
on that episode of Talking Dead.
You know why I liked T-Dog when it came down to it, though? He had Rick's back. Him and Daryl were good wingmen, you know, and he had his back. Now he doesn't have that anymore. He's going to have to get that other black dude.
He doesn't have a neck either.
That other black dude, he's like, okay, you're my new guy.
Token black guy. Yeah, I'm going to name you Token.
You're not getting much dialogue, but you got my back, right? Yeah, I got your back. Yeah. All right. So the shocking scene at the end, I had no idea it was going to happen. No way I could have predicted it.
No, I wasn't expecting that.
I didn't know where they were going to go with the pregnancy and the baby. I know what happens in the comic book.
It's terrible.
I thought it was completely ridiculous what happens in the comic, and I even laughed out loud at it.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be shocking.
It's so bad.
It's ridiculous. But in this show, they do it where it's like, Bill, you put it best. You were like, Rick Kirkman meets proper storytelling.
Yeah, it really is. It's fantastic. It was shocking and unexpected
and
moving.
When Rick finds out, his reaction was fantastic. It felt real to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I welled up immediately. That was like real emotion. I was like, damn, he was good in that scene, you know? What's so great is, remember, Herschel comes out and he's on crutches and everyone's like, well, look at that, man. He's a tough old son of a bitch. And people are smiling, and then all of a sudden the camera kind of moves over and it's like, holy shit, walkers everywhere. I do, with all that going on, cutting over to Andrea kind of like contemplating leaving, I was like, okay, this isn't working for me. We don't give
a
shit.
Let's move on.
Yeah, move on, please.
Need some action here.
Because I've never been a fan of Andrea's character in general. Like, she always... She goes the way the wind blows.
What I want to know is this. Michonne is a cool character in the comics, I guess. You know, she's got a samurai sword. They've got to turn her into more of a human being. Right now, it's like special guest comic book character in the show of other people. She doesn't seem like a real human being to me yet. She's kind of a bad...
She doesn't seem like a real human being in the comic book. In the comic book, she's a psycho. Like,
where did she learn her katana skills and stuff? I wouldn't mind a flashback episode, but when the stuff starts happening, maybe she's in a katana class or something.
She's in Japan training to be a ninja.
I don't know what the hell is going on with her character. I think it's cool that she's on the show, yes, but how is she who she is? I don't know. We know how Merle is who he is. He's a racist son of a bitch, right?
Yeah.
We know they've already given the governor. We know that he was a normal guy at one point, but like everyone
his
else,
his wife and kid were killed. He kind of psychoed out.
His wife died of cancer. Oh, so he said, but in this world, you see so much shit and you have to do so much to protect what you have that it changes you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I just want to, hopefully they'll flesh that out more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm very happy with the season.
Yeah, so am I. I'm shocked that it's only been 4 episodes.
I have no idea what they're going to do with Rick. But I'm going to spoil something from the comics for everyone. Okay, Steven? So go ahead.
La, la.
For 2 minutes, I want you to skip ahead if you don't want to hear this. This is a spoiler in the comic. In the comic book, when a certain tragic thing happens, Rick starts to lose his mind and carries around a telephone with him and has conversations with dead people on the telephone.
Yeah.
It's retarded.
Yeah, it's beyond retarded.
I see Rick with an iPhone on the show, he's like, hello?
No, it's not. He needs to carry around
a rotary
phone like he does in the comic.
Yeah, it's an old rotary phone. And he's like, and they're like, Rick, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I got to go. And he like hangs up, you know?
Hello, Dale? Is that you?
Hey, what are you doing there? And he even starts to hear from other people like, yeah, we're safe. We're in this other area. And he's like, tell me where you are. And oh, we got to be secretive. We can't just tell you. And he's like all in his head.
Yeah, it's so bad.
They need to do that on the show. No, they don't. That's only if they.
I don't even think they allow Kirkman in the writer's room.
I was joking that Glenn Mazzara read the comic and he goes, oh, this is a nice little rough outline you got there.
This is a good idea of where not to go.
Right. Oh, now baby's got a big chunk of wood. Where do you get this shit from? Do we live next
door? Do you just have, like, the door open and she just goes in and out?
Yes.
I think you should close it.
But then we'd be getting up and letting her out all through the show.
Oh, okay.
I think we better just tranquilize her during the show.
Yeah.
So, Bill,
crater for
do you have any news stories for us
today? Ketamine?
Yes. You want to do some news stories?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
You can leave. I'll take it from here.
Oh, Peter's going to take over the show. All right, guys, let's do some news. Woo-hoo! He's like, what the F?
You don't even know what you don't know.
You don't know that. But anyway, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Do you remember a couple years back, there's like one of those news bloopers where the guy is with the guy showing off a snake. I actually think it was from a local Texas channel. Is it Channel 5? Is it Arlington? Is that where that is?
Channel 5.
NBC 5?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was on there, and they were showing off a snake or something, and then a little lizard jumps on him, and he totally freaks out and falls on his ass. And then stands up like, oh, get this thing off me. What is it? Well, his name is Michael Scott, and he's in Omaha now, and police arrested him Thursday afternoon for assaulting his girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
What's interesting here is that the woman claims that Scott attacked her after she said she did not like the movie they just watched at a theater.
What movie
I think
was
it was
it?
The Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Rises.
After arriving at their apartment, the woman claims that Scott pushed her, hit her in the face, and tried to strangle her.
I hated that movie. What did you say? What did you say?
The woman claims Scott said that it's time for you to die, like
Thank
OJ.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, he's dramatic.
Does he have any idea that OJ didn't die? It's time for you to die like OJ? Does it mean he was going to squeeze her like orange juice?
It sounds like it.
I don't know. So he left and then returned later, and the woman says Scott put her in a headlock and claims that he ripped off two of her fake fingernails. The woman went to police Saturday afternoon to report the incident because, you know, she had to ruminate on it. Wow. Scott has had a varied career. He's always been a news anchor. Oh, he's been a news anchor twice in Omaha. Stints in L.A., Texas, Charlotte, Huntsville, reporter for Entertainment Tonight, and an unsuccessful candidate for the House of Representatives in 1998.
What?
Oh, man, this guy's all over the place. Like O.J. What a dick.
Wow. He really
likes... He doesn't like lizards. He freaks out when lizards jump on him.
You always wonder, those people in those videos, I bet he's got a great life after this video went viral.
No.
Not so much.
A man who was sleeping in a cornfield has survived after being run over by a combine harvester. The 57-year-old said he chose to rest in the field on the outskirts of Billings, Montana, after becoming worn out on a bus journey. Because what, you know, better place to relax than a cornfield? The man's clothes were caught in the combine, and emergency services were quickly on the scene to free him from the blades. A number of stitches were required to treat his cuts. A local sheriff stated that the man was incredibly lucky to be alive.
Wow.
Those combines are nasty-looking things, man. I don't know. He is more than lucky. He's an idiot. all right, so in Denver, United States Postal Service acknowledged on Friday that one of its mail carriers did not report a corpse at a Denver home because he mistook the body for a Halloween display.
What? Nice. That must have been a really good makeup
that
was, job.
That's some fantastic makeup. Glenn Hetrick must have done that.
Even got the smell right.
Yeah, we do know the carrier delivered mail to the house that day, and he remembered seeing something he thought was related to Halloween. The Postal Service said in a statement, when the carrier learned that that was not the case, he was shocked and extremely upset.
What the?
The local ABC News affiliate reported that the dead man, Dale Porch, 46, collapsed and died November 2nd on his porch steps after returning home from his night shift job. So this guy, he died November 2nd. But this guy just was like, oh, they're still out for Halloween. Relatives of Porch could not be reached for comment. The Postal Service called the incident an unfortunate situation.
Absolutely reeks.
Yeah, yeah, no shit. They got the smell right, too. Amazing. Here's a story right out of Fringe. The wild Arabica coffee plant, the parent of the bushes on coffee farms, could go extinct as soon as 2080, according to a study by researchers from Kew Royal Botanic Gardens, published in some magazine. I can't even pronounce it.
This is nuts.
They're saying researchers use a computer to simulate the potential impact of climate change on the regions that are home to the wild coffee plant in the mountains of East Africa. They found that by 2080, global warming was likely to reduce the number of bioclimatically suitable locales for wild coffee growth by 65 to 100%. So by 2080, no more Arabica coffee.
It warms your ass.
Yes. Wonderful. What will Juan Valdez and his dumb donkey do?
Love that guy.
And if it wasn't, and, you know, every year we have Thanksgiving, we have our turkey, and just kind of, you know, it is what we do. So why would anybody get upset about it? Well, it's time for PETA to come after Thanksgiving.
What a turkey.
Millions of Americans are expected to dig into turkey on Thanksgiving Day, but People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals feels it has a better idea about what to stick in the roasted bird on November 22nd.
Turkey.
On Friday, the group announced it would be offering free tombstones emblazoned with the words, "Here lies the corpse of a tortured bird," for kids in place to place in the Thanksgiving turkey.
Turkey catch a Tory.
PETA, which has a reputation for using sensationalized advertisements and commercials to convey pro-animal stance, says kids who visit PETA2.com/tombstones and request a tombstone will get them in mail for free.
I'm going to request one now.
I want one just to put it in my turkey.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I want one. What does it say? Here lies the corpse of a tortured bird.
So,
well, technically, I'm not getting my turkey from, like, the grocery store. I'm going to get it from a local farm, so I know it's not been tortured, but who really cares? It's
is that what, are they against, like, how they're bred in, like, turkey farms?
Yeah, in turkey farms, they're just, you know, they're caged and force-fed, and they just get fattened up and then die. Yeah. But, I mean, they just always have to get involved with stupid shit. All right, now this drunk man, quite possibly, is one of the smartest drunk men ever. In Scranton, Pennsylvania, Stephen Johnson, 24, broke into a home early Thursday morning and helped himself to an extravagant dinner of steak, clams, shrimp, and crab legs. Washed it down with coconut rum and vanilla vodka.
Jesus, he's just asking for a puke session, isn't he?
Coconut rum.
And grabbed a box of Klondikes before escaping.
Sweet. Jesus.
He might have made a clean getaway if he hadn't startled the owners who were sleeping on the couch when Johnson strolled in and tucked into the surf and turf spread. The owner woke up as Mr. Johnson, who'd prepared himself a to-go bag that included more food, booze, and a pack of cigarettes, and watched him walk out of his kitchen and out the front door, taking with him a box of Klondike bars. Once he'd left, the owner called police, and the man was quickly apprehended, because I'm sure he wasn't moving that fast. Allegedly, the thief was caught red-handed with a bag of food, a bushel of clams, some crab legs, shrimp, most of which was well already eaten, and an open box of Reese's Klondike bars.
Reese's?
Reese's!
I do like Klondike.
Good Klondike Reese's commercial. What would you do for one?
I love Klondike bars, but not. I'm not going to eat a Reese's Klondike bar.
No, it's Reese's.
Reese's? I would try. They have now the mint chocolate chip kind.
I tried them. They're terrible.
Aw.
They're terrible.
What about Reese's?
Hey, stop making fun of my Pennsylvania accent.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
We've always called them Reese's. I'm sorry.
It's too close to feces.
Well, they're not that far from it.
Hey, I like Reese's. I almost said Reese's.
See, you were going to say Reese's.
Holy
The food, alcohol, and pack of Camel cigarettes in Mr. Johnson's pocket accounted for all the items missing from the home. Mr. Johnson also had a bag containing two power drills, a nail gun, and screws on him that did not come from the home. So he must have been planning to build a home and then have the rest of his feast.
He lost the plot.
Oh, he was sent to Lackawanna County Prison.
Lackawanna. I wonder if that place is still standing after Sandy.
Mm.
I hope Buddy's okay. I know I read that article that the bakery's fine, but they didn't say how Lackawanna was. And Bill, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was clearing my throat.
All right, last story. Hopewell Junction.
I am aggravated. I am done.
In Poughkeepsie, a driver in a gray car who pulled over to a bus stop and opened his car door this morning is no cause for panic.
Okay.
The parents should heighten awareness, said East Frisco Lieutenant Kevin Keefe. My God, how I can't believe this happened. Police say a child at the bus stop who left when the man stopped and his mother came into the station to report the issue.
Go on, there's the door. You can do better. Let's
Son of a bitch opened his door. We were concerned, but there's no cause for panic or alarm, and that's not enough information to issue a real warning. We put the word out to local agencies and have been in contact with the superintendent of schools in Wappingers. The child reported that he was at his bus stop in the vicinity of Brown Road in East Fishkill when a gray car pulled over. The driver, described only as a white male, opened his driver's side car door. There was no exchange of any kind made. The child did the smart thing, which was to practice caution by getting out of there and going home, yelling stranger danger the whole way. All he saw was the driver's hand, which is why he knows he's a white male. Car could have been a Honda. Keefe said that the police officer, Keefe said the driver might have just been stopping to make sure his door was properly shut, but in case parents should practice slightly heightened awareness.
Stranger danger!
Never know when somebody might stop in a safe area to open their door and close it. Son of a bitch.
Have you guys been ever been offered candy by a stranger?
Never in my life.
Hey, kid, you want some candy?
So.
Come on over here. Nope, never happened.
Well, my sister's got it into my head that I would be kidnapped anytime I went outside when I was a kid.
You will be abducted.
I would be abducted, yeah, by the blue van man. There was a thing going around.
And, you talked about that before.
Yeah, and I never went outside, and I turned into a fat ass who played video games. So I blame them for my obesity.
Why did your sisters do that?
Because they loved just having me react in horrible ways to things. They thought it was hilarious. Every one of them were bitches.
Wow.
So how are you crazy bitches?
And that's news for this week. So, you know, if you ever see somebody open their door, you know what to do.
I'm out, bitches! I'm out!
Report
all right,
it
Bill.
To the police.
Thank you for doing the news this week, Bill.
No problem.
How'd you like to do some DVDs?
I might.
All right, well, let's do some DVDs, mother sucker! Whee! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Oh, you guys were actually right on time with that this week.
Do I get kicked in the nuts?
Kind of felt a little late, but I...
No, it sounded right on.
Oh, thanks.
It's like, what the f***?
it was like an old-time show.
Ah, good times.
All right, we are going to start
so
off...
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Yep.
You sure?
I'm ready.
All right. DVDs for Tuesday, November 13th, 2012, starting off with what I'm sure everyone will run out and buy, the 2012 Wimbledon official film and the 2012 Wimbledon men and women's finals. Because nothing says excitement like 394 minutes of tennis.
Okay, now I'm ready to draw.
Wow, that's a lot of tennis. Have you guys ever been able to watch tennis and be entertained by it?
No. No, I remember whenever Wimbledon would be on HBO during the summer, it was like the worst mornings because you'd wake up, turn on HBO, and be like, oh, come on, tennis? Your whole day was ruined.
Yeah, it sucked. I know what you're talking about.
I don't understand why they ever did that. It was terrible. All right, moving on. We have the triple feature Blu-ray of Austin Powers films, The International Man of Mystery, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and Gold Member.
All right, guys, which one's the best Austin Powers?
First one.
The first one, yeah.
First one.
Come on, not The Spy Who Shagged Me?
Oh, my God, The Spy Who Shagged Me is freaking awful.
Help, I'm in a nutshell.
I remember my sisters and I loved the first one. And they came to visit me in Columbus, and we were like, well, let's go see the second one. And we were just, we didn't laugh once during it. We were like, wow, that was freaking terrible.
How dare you break wind before me?
It is, I love the first one. What about Goldmember? Did you guys dig that?
No.
That was disgusting. That was like, wasn't even, it wasn't funny, it was just gross. Wasn't he the one that like his skin would flake and he would eat it?
I don't know. It was
disturbing.
Yeah, it was just it was horrible and disturbing and just not funny at all. Mike Myers loved it though.
He lost his mojo big time. Mike Myers
did. Yeah, he did. Oh my gosh. All right. Next one is I can't even believe I'm mentioning it, but it's on DVD, sorry, and it is zombie related. It's a Japanese film called Big Tit Zombie.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's called what again, Bill?
Big Tits Zombie.
So why is it called that,
Bill? Attractive Japanese girls that are well endowed.
She's actually jiggling my breast right now.
Yeah, and they kill zombies, apparently.
Wow.
I might check it out. Maybe.
God bless your real breast.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We have Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on Blu-ray.
They're nice looking.
Bill and Ted. Okay, which one's better, the first one or second one, Bill?
You know what? I really do like the second one, but the first one is just classic.
I get to punch you now, Bill.
No!
You don't want Gary to punch you.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I haven't seen that in years.
It's still funny. All right, moving on. We have Brave on Blu-ray 3D, DVD, and digital copy.
Boy, we're showing him how brave we are.
No one actually uses the digital copy.
No. I do like Brave. I know some people are like, well, it's not as good. But seeing how much my wife and daughter loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good stuff. Come on.
Yeah, it is. I'll pick it up.
Yeah. Plus, it's got a bear in it, right?
Yeah. Funny bear.
Waka waka.
And not three positive. Little bears.
Yeah. They try to steal the show.
Yeah, they're hilarious. All right, moving on, we have Empire of the Sun on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, that's the best one. Irvin Kershner directed the second one. Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry.
You'll be sorry.
What, have you ever seen Empire of the Sun, Bill?
This is the one with little Christian Bale, right?
Yeah.
Little Christian Bale. Before he was cursing out lighting guys.
This is bullshit, man.
Why?
It's
Why is
not
it
a
bullshit?
Bad movie. It's not the sort of movie I want to watch all the time.
For sake, man, you're amateur.
Hey, I love Christian Bale's
all angry.
I think Christian Bale has proved that he's a nice guy. He's an awesome dude.
Oh God, yeah. I think he's suffered enough from that.
Seriously, man, you and me, we're fucking done professionally.
I remember talking about this when it happened. When you work on a movie, your job is the most important thing for the movie. That moment in time, that day, in that scene, and that's what he cares about.
Even if it's directed by McGee.
Yes, he's a professional, a consummate professional, and he's proven he's a decent actor. I mean, sure, that movie was for a paycheck, but still, he was really...
What don't you fucking understand?
Okay, never mind.
All right, moving on, we have Friends, the complete series collection on Blu-ray.
Ding, 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 ding.
Some people really love that show. I'm not one of them.
I love Friends.
No, you don't.
I do love Friends. You know why, Bill?
My sandwich.
Greatest episode ever of a TV show.
I liked it to an extent.
My sandwich.
Say
what you want about Friends
with one another.
I know that people turn on Friends, but it was consistently funny. It really was. I can understand getting sick of it and not wanting to watch it anymore. But at the time, it was a funny show, and it had a lot of laughs.
Watched it. Everyone.
You threw my sandwich away.
All right, I'm laughing, okay?
Someone stole Ross's sandwich.
Yeah.
Do you remember who stole it, Bill?
No.
The guy from work.
Was it the monkey?
It was his boss.
My sandwich!
It wasn't the monkey.
Most of it away.
The monkey was only in season one, okay?
Really? Was it? No, really?
Yes, they got rid of the monkey after one season, didn't they, Steven?
Yeah.
Wow. Yet I remember the monkey so vividly.
What are you doing, monkey?
All right, next is the most important Blu-ray release. We have Lawrence of Arabia, the 50th Anniversary Collector's Edition.
I heard it's the long cut.
Is it the long cut?
Oh, wait, that's the normal version.
This is awesome. Like the set, it's the limited edition collector's package, which is kind of the old style poster art, 88-page coffee table book, individually numbered 70mm mounted film frame, Secrets of Arabia, picture in graphics track, interviews with Peter O'Toole, the making of, conversation with Steven Spielberg.
Did people who knew Lawrence of Arabia call him Larry of Arabia?
Yeah,
I think you could share with the rest of us, amazing Larry!
He was pretty freaking amazing.
Larry of Arabia. He was this...
An English guy.
Named T.E. Lawrence, who we called Larry.
He went to go kill the Turkish. There's a... Is that in Meatballs?
No.
What movie is
it? Hollywood Nights.
Hollywood Nights. Lawrence of Arabia. He was this English guy.
He came to kill the Turkish.
It's something
that's
in a movie.
That's the Robert Townsend movie, right?
Robert Wall, Tony Danza.
Oh. Hollywood Shuffles, the...
Yeah.
Hollywood Nights.
I smell intro.
Hollywood Nights.
Tony Danza? Tony Danza's not in that one.
He's in Hollywood Nights, isn't he?
Yeah, I have seen that. It's with Michelle Pfeiffer,
Yeah, Hollywood Nights. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fran Drescher, Robert Wall.
Yeah, Tony Danza's in that
Mike
movie.
Mike Binder.
Is that the movie that song's in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the cop, the little nerdy cop guy who draws in the pencil mustache.
That movie's bad.
I think that was the last great Tony Danza movie.
Yeah, he's made a lot of them. It's hard to count.
All I can remember Tony Danza movie-wise is the one with the monkeys.
We lost the plot.
The one with the monkeys?
Yeah, Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry. I was thinking
Going
M-O-N-K-E-E-S.
Ape, yes.
The monkeys.
You did a movie with the monkeys?
I gotta see this!
That would be awesome. You know, the one with the orangutans. And he did another one where he was like the father of a... She's out of control.
Yeah.
Hey. That was with a monkey's daughter.
Would you like to buy a monkey?
Mm-hmm.
That was with a monkey's daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Amy Dolan's.
Uh-huh.
Wow! 6 degrees, Steven!
Do a movie with the monkeys.
If you see monkeys in there, feel free to knife one.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
All right, Bill, what other?
Here's a triple feature. Lost Boys, Lost Boys the Tribe, and Lost Boys the Thirst.
I want one of those. The other two are doorstops.
Coasters.
And also, your favorite Canadian show, Lost Girl. Well, one of your favorite Canadian shows.
Yes, I like several Canadian
shows.
Lost
Girl season 2.
I do like Lost Girl. With season 2, I don't have it.
It's one show.
Is season 2 on Blu-ray? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow, I've got to get that for Heather.
How are those maggots?
Excuse me? Now, Bill, do you remember me telling you Czar DVR deleted the Lost Girl season 2 episodes?
Oh, that's
it's
right.
Like, yeah. Once 5 of them were missing, you're like, shit, just delete the rest.
Yeah, it's not worth it. All right, moving on.
In
hindsight,
Bill.
It's time for Miracle on 34th Street, the 65th anniversary edition, in case you don't have the 60th or 62nd or... This movie's been released more times on different formats than It's a Wonderful Life.
It's like, what the f***?
More times than Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Army of Darkness. Nothing's been released that many times.
No, that's true. Next on Blu-ray, we have the Pixar Short Films Collection Volume 2.
Ooh.
And this one has, let's see here, Presto, Day and Night, La Luna, and a host of others.
I like Presto.
Yeah.
Is that the bunny in the hat?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Oh, it also has something with Doug on it. Your Friend the Rat. What is it? Presto, Bernie, Partly Cloudy, Doug's Special Mission. I mean, there's a bunch of them on here. I'll probably end up getting it.
What'd you think of the one before Wreck-It Ralph? I know it's not a Pixar movie.
Oh, my God. I was so angry that they put something so good before Wreck-It Ralph because I had a hard time getting into the beginning of the film because of that short. It was just so romantic and moving and just beautiful.
I got to admit, though, that It made my heart sore, if I want to be completely cheesy, just like Wreck-It Ralph did.
I totally am with you there.
There were moments in Wreck-It Ralph that made me feel like that, too. Towards the end, the big climactic scene and stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
I liked feeling things, Steven.
Just don't open your door near any bus stops.
How's that make you feel?
All right, moving on, we have... This next film is a documentary that has gotten a lot of really positive reviews called The Queen of Versailles. And it's about this this family. The guy is one of the biggest billionaires in the United States. And he starts building this like 90,000 square foot palace. And the recession hits, and they have to, like, start cutting back, but the wife is obviously used to their prior lifestyle.
You're already a princess. I want to make you a queen.
And it just... the trailer was fascinating. I almost went into town just to watch it, into Columbus to see it at the indie theater. But I can't wait to give it a watch now that it's hitting Blu-ray. Because it almost looks like an episode of something on Bravo.
You mean no, only on Bravo?
Only on Bravo. and next we have Savages, the Oliver Stone film with Tim Riggins.
Did you ever get to see that?
No. Or wait, no, I did. I did see it.
Was it? I think my dad saw it. He enjoyed it.
I thought it was really well done. In fact, I liked it so much. I went back and started reading the books. There's two books. There's the one Savages is based on, and then there's a prequel.
Oh, my God. Bloody hell.
And, it's a really good film. It's not great. And John Travolta's really good in it also in his small role.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, I like it. Taylor Kitsch gets a bad rap. I feel bad for the kid.
You mean the cursed Taylor Kitsch?
Don't even get into that.
I can't believe how good this feels.
It's being released, I think it needs to be mentioned. Snowmageddon on Blu-ray.
Excuse me?
Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
Is that a Dean Cain film?
No, it's just it's a Sheldon Wilson film, actually.
That you'll shit snow for a year.
Yeah. I don't know where this came from. I don't know if it's one of those Asylum films. It certainly looks like it. Oh, it's a Canadian film.
Oh, I love those Canadians.
Sintel Films, Canada. I don't know who Sheldon Wilson is as a director, but it's got a bunch of Canadian people in it, and it's...
You poor, misguided Canadian bastard.
It's Christmas Eve in Normal, Alaska, and not a flake of snow has fallen yet, but when mysterious earthquakes, explosive fires, and ice meteors and underground spikes suddenly strike the quaint mountain village, the local sheriff, his helicopter pilot wife... Oh, thank God she flies a helicopter... Okay. And their two kids must figure out why nature hates the holidays.
Okay.
Yep. So there you go. Oh, it's a sci-fi original.
Nice.
From the executive producers of Icequake, Mega Cyclone, Stonehenge Apocalypse, and Mongolian Death Worm.
The team investigates the vicious chupacabra.
It sucks out the blood of its prey.
And they've uncovered evidence.
Oh my gosh.
Now, here's something that I'm definitely picking up. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles triple feature. It's the films of them in the suits. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. That's the time one, the Turtles in Time.
The first one's the only one that's good.
Oh, come on, the second one has Vanilla Ice in it, right?
Go, Ninja! Go, Ninja! Go!
Yeah, I don't even remember the third one. I think I had grown up to the point where I avoided them.
Ooh, Ninja Star to the head! Ow!
They might be fun for Emma.
Oh, Emma loves the Ninja Turtles, and they have a new Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles that she watches every week.
Yeah.
It's in HD, and it takes up a lot of DVR space.
Wow.
I'm just like, crap, how many episodes of this are there?
Next Blu-ray is a direct-to-video Amy Heckerling film.
Oh, I bet it's good.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. It's called Vamps. It's a comedy from the creator of Clueless and Loser. Vamps tells the modern-day story of two young, striking female vampires, played by Alicia Silverstone and Kristen Ritter, living the high life in New York until love enters the picture and each has to make a choice that will jeopardize their immortality.
Yep. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z!
That is still one of the most insane, like, why am I watching this film as I've ever seen.
Yes. Kristen Ritter, annoy the shit out of you, do you like her?
She's on that fence.
She's definitely on the fence.
She is on that fence, because she just plays the same character
in
everything.
Is it John Ritter's daughter?
No, she's not related.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Because I love John Ritter.
Yeah, and I like John Ritter's son.
Jason Ritter, yeah.
He was good in that alien show that got canned.
The Event.
The Event, yeah. Next, the worst film I've seen in the theaters this year on Blu-ray, The Watch.
The what?
The Watch.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Okay,
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill. Horrible movie. Horrible. And I think what made it so horrible was it tried to be kind of like a crude, gross-out comedy. And what makes this even worse is this is the unrated, ruder, cruder, and lewder version.
I can't wait to watch you get done wrong, dude.
So it's even worse than it was in the theaters.
Oh, boy.
Great.
Or maybe it's better!
No, it's so bad. It's so painfully freaking awful. It's just there's not a single laugh in it. It just falls flat every time. And written by Seth Rogen and Jared Stern. Congratulations, guys.
Man, Seth Rogen, he's conned everyone.
I think he has, actually.
Like that face crap thing from Alien.
Exactly.
And here's something that they're doing. They've already released the Ultimate Cut of Watchmen. For some reason, they're releasing it again in a collector's edition with the graphic novel.
Watchmen, the movie.
So you get the Ultimate Cut plus a graphic novel. It's actually a pretty cool box, but I already have two editions of it. I have that Ultimate Edition, you know, in the slipcase, and I have the edition that is actually the Owl's ship.
Yeah, and we've already talked about a lot of times how the director's cut is so superior to the theatrical cut.
Yeah, and the Ultimate Cut is even more superior because it puts that dark freighter, black freighter stuff back in. And it actually helps with the flow of the movie.
It breaks my heart a little bit that the theatrical version was the theatrical version.
Yeah, it breaks my heart that the theatrical version was even released. Yeah,
there's so many people I've seen on Facebook, the infamous Facebook, that are like, oh, I saw it in the theater, it sucked. And I just want to like watch it again, but watch the director's cut,
watch
please.
The real version, please.
Yeah. Completely different.
Yeah, and that's Blu-ray DVD for this week.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the HD Blu-rays standard definition.
Don't forget big tit zombies. That's in standard definition, sadly.
Oh, boo! I need pristine 4K for that movie.
Yeah, that really should be what it is. Shot on red.
I'm going to watch it in IMAX.
Somebody needs to fund that.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
I feel like you get kicked in the nuts.
Thank you. Good night.
Excuse me?
Here all week, try the veal. And see
Alright, everyone, that was episode 265 of Nowhere in Mulberry. We've got to get out of the 60s of the show.
Please.
We've been in the 60s since May, I think. Thank you for listening to the show. I know it was a different kind of show. It was a Saturday phone-in show. I didn't have as much time to prepare for the show, but you missed it, Steven. I did an old-school Nowhere in Mulberry intro. With the old theme music.
Like, seriously old school.
That was for our old school fans. And I was thinking, we need a name for the people who love the show, who've listened to every episode of the show since episode one. They need, like...
Nimmies?
Like, Nimmies, Nimmasters, or...
Nimmonites.
Like, Nimmonites. Grandmasters, or is that too kind of KKK-ish? I don't know.
Grand Dragon.
Exalted Cyclops.
Exalted.
Extreme Nora Mulberry fans. I know Adam would be one of those. Sean, Rick.
I don't know if Sean's getting docked.
Ross.
Yeah, Rick. I mean, Sean, you're falling off, man. I don't know. No, Sean, we'll always love you. But, people who've listened to every Nora Mulberry, we love you, and you're awesome, and stuff like that. Right, guys?
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Now, get out your wallets.
Yes. Oh, my God. You really upset her, Bill.
You got to spend money to make money.
Hey, you sound like the guy from RoboCop. All right, guys, go to noramulberry.com and you can find...
Do you fly, Bobby?
You can find a link to our forum or... I mean, not or, and you can find a link to us on Twitter and the Nowhere in Mulberry Fan Club on Facebook, where we love talking about stuff.
Shit.
Yes.
Where it never gets heavy.
Yes, never gets heavy. We never get too worked up. Steven, he never stops posting things on there.
Jeez, I can't keep track of it. Sometimes I go on and go, Jesus, Steven, again? Really?
Enough with this, Steven. Okay, we know how conservative you are, Steven. Okay, we get it.
I love that your post in the fan club that we're recording a show tonight is seen by 13 people, yet two or three of them show up. It's like, okay. Well,
those people love us, Bill. They're blocked by their anonymous IPs, Bill.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah. They were all listening tonight. But we also have a brand new voicemail. You see what happens is when you don't get a voicemail for 30 days, our voicemail cancels. So we got to keep it active by getting voicemails all the time. Our new one is 1-206-984-4943. So call and leave us a great old voicemail. We'll play it on the show. We'll love it. Now, Bill, do you have to go out of town next weekend?
I'm going out of town next weekend.
So we're not going to do a show next Friday.
Yeah, doesn't I'll be sound gone. Like- I will be in the Burg of Pitts.
The Burg of Pitts. I saw that next week on Kitchen Nightmares, Gordon Ramsay goes to Pittsburgh.
No shit.
Oh. Yep. Yeah. Maybe you can eat at the place that he goes to.
God, man, I hope there's some Yinzers on it.
You got to go to the restaurant that he goes to.
I should. I'll have to know what it is.
You got to see, like, oh, this place does suck. He didn't fix this at all.
I'm putting it in right now.
He lost the plot.
You've lost the plot.
Absolutely reeks.
Oh, he's in Beaver.
It's the most amazing beaver I've ever eaten.
Wait, who did he tell that to?
I'm not sure.
Levante's in Beaver, Pennsylvania. Okay.
So he's going to Beaver Cleaverville?
Yeah, Beaver Cleaverville.
Awesome. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Bill and I are going to be, and Steven, I got to do that show with you. Steven and I are doing a NIMH movie mini of Jaws. That's going to be part of the holiday pack.
Come on. I'm off on the Thanksgiving week sometime.
Thanksgiving?
Jesus, that's, Steven, can you delay it anymore?
That's a week away.
I need to do it tomorrow, Steven. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. It's a great Saturday phone-in show. This is a disaster. What did we do this for? Oh, wait. My confidence. Go back up. Oh, it was a great show.
Waning.
Did you guys love it?
Yes.
Yes.
That was convincing enough.
Yes.
All right. See you next time, guys.
You can leave. I'll take it from here.
Okay. Peter's doing a show after us, I guess.
It's like, what the f***?
Now this is podcasting.
You don't even know what you don't know.